Hey Rod, are you ready to go balls deep in sports?
Swaggy, and welcome to another episode of Balls Deep Sports, the premium podcast for all of your sports needs in the podcasting world. When it comes to the black guy who tips, I am half of the show, your co-host, Rod. Of course, you know me, and I'm always joined by the other co-host of the show, my man Justin. What's up?
Man, what's up, man? These dudes out here balling in the D-League. We speaking Swag Healy.
Mm-hmm. I turned it up too much. Yeah, man, it's good to have you, man. How's your week been?
Excellent week, man. Just
we didn't even get the ball together this week.
I know, man. I had like 4 papers due this week and a presentation.
Well, I'm just glad that it worked out, man, that we were able to do this Friday. We'll see what's going on next week because you know, obviously next week is going to be a little bit hectic with holidays and all of that stuff, man. But, you know, we're going to try to do something. We'll figure out whether we need to do it early or do it late or what, guys. But, you know, we're going to try to give you that hard hitting sports analysis that you guys are used to.
I don't even think they're ready for Thanksgiving, like Turkey Day analysis of football. Like y'all used to the normal Thursday night football analysis, but Turkey Day?
I think what they are ready for is to hear this.
How deep?
You know how when I go in the ball pit at Cheesy Charlie's and I sink all the way down to the bottom and you can't find me?
That deep?
That's right, Dad.
I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking about balls deep in love. I'm talking about balls deep.
Try hump her positive traits.
Give a pound into her feelings.
Make her south mouth salivate.
And Clara, are you listening?
We're not talking
Thank you, Scottie Pippen.
No problem. Just here dropping off an application. Players in my day didn't make as much as they do today.
Huh. Sorry to hear that. Where was
not
I?
Not on my top 5.
You're talking about
balls deep.
We're talking about
balls deep.
In love.
I'm talking about balls deep.
My boss talking about balls deep.
We're talking about balls deep. In love. All right, let's get balls deep right into this. We always start off every show the same, so there's no need to change that shit this time. Let's talk about the NFL week 10 recap. Right, this is week 11, is that right? Something like that.
One of these weeks.
Or maybe it's week 11 recap. Either way.
If you start keeping up with the weeks, it'll just make you sad.
We got to talk about Thursday night football that happened last night. It was a very interesting game between a terrible quarterback and the Saints. Matt Ryan, Matty Ice, as they like to call him because he gets cold in the winter, continued to prove that he's a subpar quarterback with his play last night. It was terrible. I go by fantasy football, and I noticed that he didn't even get 15 points in the leagues I played against him in because he's not good.
Isn't the average at least like 21, 25?
I mean, for a good quarterback, you know, you want to at least get up over 15. I know that much. 12.1 points is not going to get you anywhere. He's one of those dudes that people call him he's borderline elite, right? He's almost, I mean, there's Brady, Breeze, and Manning, but below that, you start the list with Matt Ryan. And I'm like, I don't think so.
During the game, they even said it.
Yeah, I don't see it.
I was like, why? Who says this?
Yeah, is it because he's white? Because that's the only thing that I see that could make anybody feel like this dude is some type of beast, man.
Man, the NFL is a socialist system based mm-hmm. off of economics, and because he makes so much money, it puts him in that category of elite quarterbacks. It has nothing to do with his talent. It just has to do with his money.
I mean, he was more accurate last night. I'll give him that. No picks, 30 for 39, 292 yards. So this is probably his best game of the year.
How many points they put on the board, though?
They put up a grand total of 13.
Not enough. That's one touchdown and some field goals.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not the cardiac cats out here with Jake DeLone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I just feel bad for Harry Douglas, man. He had another good fantasy game, 9 catches, 79 yards, but it's just never going to be enough for them to win an actual game.
Is this what Tony Gonzalez came back to?
This is why Tony Gonzalez just didn't want to move out of Atlanta.
It's his own fault.
Yeah, well, remember when everybody was like, they should trade him. People are trying to trade to get Tony Gonzalez. It's a big deal. I really feel like Tony Gonzalez should have said, I'm going to leave. But he came out in the press and was like, I'm not leaving. Stop asking about trades.
It's his own fault because he should have just signed originally with a contending team.
Right. Well, he thought that he was going to be the difference. Like, they don't already have talent down there in the receiving corps. It's not the talent's fault. It's Matt Ryan. Man, he's not good.
That ego sometimes. Well, not sometime. In his case, it clearly tricked him.
Right.
That ego.
It's like, but you know, but I think you're onto something with the money, man, because the same shit happened with Joe Flacco.
Yep.
All of a sudden, he's throwing 59 times in the game. It's like, nigga, you've never been able to do that.
Yep.
So you got a big contract. Now you can throw that much? No. You know, Eli Manning, man, these games where this motherfucker throws the ball 50 times, they always lose. Like, he shouldn't be doing that. That's not the kind of quarterback you are just because your paycheck says that's the kind of quarterback you are.
Yeah, it's all about the money.
So let's recap the other games, man. At least the ones I care about. I'm going to be honest, man. This was a terrible week of for games I cared about. All right. Well, we'll recover. We'll talk about them anyway. Like, just, you know, you just see a matchup on Red Zone and you'd be like, do I even have any fantasy players in this? That's how this week was for me.
That's right. You base yours off fantasy football.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about the real game.
I base mine off if it's somebody I like playing.
Yeah. This is why my shit be so accurate when I be talking about these players, dog. Everybody even Russell, dog. Like, everybody else going by points and, like, I mean, going by, like, the highlights and what they saw on SportsCenter and if they watched the whole game. And I'm going strictly by cold heart numbers and statistical analysis, and then I add that into what I watch on Red Zone, and that's what gives me a complete picture of the game. So that's why I'm like, Russell Wilson doesn't make a lot of mistakes, and he makes big play. He's a playmaker, but he's not a elite fantasy quarterback. You know what I mean,
man? Russell back.
You think? Okay.
You had this, you saw him Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's done that before.
He consistent.
Okay.
Minnesota got a running team. They got Adrian Peterson.
Yeah. You mean the defense then? Because I was saying the defense gets run on.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the defense stopped them. That's
but
true.
The defense, and that allowed him to put more points on the board by the defense playing better.
That's true too, man. But I wouldn't be surprised if this week he puts up 12 fantasy points. Like, it's not, I mean, it's not a knock on him. His fantasy points actually have no bearing on how good he is.
No, I, you know what I mean? Saying.
Like, cause they don't allow him to do a lot. So I can't tell. Like, I feel like he's capable of doing more. They don't want him to, is how I feel. Like, they feel like if we have Russell Wilson throw the ball 30 times, then our game plan is fucked up.
They actually plan a football system.
Yeah.
Because nobody's ever wanted to admit that Pete Carroll could actually be a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's like, especially in the NFL ranks.
He's coming out of college. He's a player's coach. He's not going to be disciplined. He's coming out of the sunshine state of California where it was all easy breezy, but now he's got to work for it. And, he's kicking ass.
Yep. So I don't know who's drafting the players out there in Seattle. It could be him. I don't know. He clearly made that quarterback change after, what, 3 games with Russell Wilson?
Yeah, I mean, it was obvious. I mean, who was the starter supposed to be? Wasn't it supposed to be that dude from Green Bay?
It was somebody that was supposed to be nice, too. Like,
I'm going to assume because a brother took his job, it was Matt Flynn that had the job.
And it was somebody that he had just signed for lots of money.
Yeah, and they was like, I'm sorry, a brother is better than you.
And Russell Wilson, he was 1,000, though.
Well, the first game of the week is the Bills and the Jets. And the Bills beat the shit out of the Jets.
Say it ain't so, Geno.
Just, damn, Geno, man. Like, I want I'm still looking at him like Cleveland looks at Cleveland Jr., dog. Don't know whether stupid or smart. Like, it just another terrible game. 103 passing yards, 8 for 23, 3 picks. Nigga, what? Man, and I was talking to somebody, man, and they had the nerve to be like, they was a Jets fan. They was like, oh, nah, it's okay. Cause, you know, Geno is an athlete. He's more of a runner than a pass. I was like, no, man, don't say that. You racist. You only saying that cause he black. Geno yep. can't run like that.
Yeah, he not.
He not good at running.
He was never on the track team and football team at the same yeah. time.
He's horrible at running. Yeah, this is bad. If he don't have good passing numbers, y'all will lose, man.
We all knew that guy that played football and ran track.
Yeah.
He wasn't one of them. He played football and then the rest of the time he smoked weed and hung out with his friends.
And this does prove why Rex Ryan, for all the shit that he gets, is a better coach than people think, because he told people up front that Geno Smith was not the starter for the rest of the year. Everybody's like, just commit to the young kid so he can have some confidence. And once he had some of these bad games, people start being like, okay, I see what you're saying. Who's going to start next week?
But they forgot Rex said it.
Right,
so,
yeah.
So it still fall back on him.
Oh, he going to catch hell for this record, if they, especially cause, since they had a winning record for a while. And now they're 5-5. If they end the season, say like 7-9 or 6-10, he probably getting fired behind this bullshit. And yeah, I don't really care much about the Bills, man. I mean, good for them. I think EJ Manuel's back. So, you know, that's cool. But if anybody that feels like you can consistently predict the outcome of a Bills game, then something's wrong with you.
I knew something was wrong with Buffalo back when they went to like 3 straight Super Bowls and lost all of them.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what's wrong? Does God hate that team? you know what I mean?
The only thing, and it might have even been 4 Super Bowls, man. It was a lot.
Right.
It might have even been 4, dog. But, the only thing about the Bills that I care about is Fred Jackson's on my fantasy team. And his numbers are starting to go down even when they win. And that's fucking me up because I need him to be a bigger part of that offense. And of course I still don't believe in CJ Spiller, man. Just last week, 13 rushing attempts, 6 yards. Wow. Now if they would have gave Fred Jackson 13 more rushing attempts, he probably would have had like a 100-yard game. So they had to give it to the little fast niggas.
So that means the defense won in these games.
Yeah. Well, they won this one. Geno Smith lost this game. That's what we're looking at. 3 picks. He was giving this shit away. What was they fumbles like? Oh, and he lost the fumble. Yeah. He gave his game away.
When you're playing against Geno, that's the game where you want to get your stats up on defense so you could be like, yep, getting my bonus this year.
Mm-hmm. You circle that one on the calendar.
Got to.
You get to play him twice, you be like, oh, yeah, get half my bonus up front, half later.
Got you. If you in his division, that's when you restructure your contract and add more incentives.
Matt Ryan last week had 19 completions and 36 attempts, 2 TDs and 2 interceptions, which isn't a bad game for him, except that it was against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Right. Go Shirley.
Yeah. And they got their ass whipped by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, becoming one of only 2 wins for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 41-28. The defense might be as bad as the offense. At this point, I really do think you have to start asking 2 questions. Have the Atlanta Falcons given up on their season? Like, and I mean, there's no way to tell for sure. I mean, they put up a spirited defensive game against the Saints, but they lost. And if so, is Mike Smith fireable at this point? Cause we always talk about Matt Ryan, but Mike Smith is tied to Matt Ryan. So all of Matt Ryan's failings as a quarterback is also, and their failings as a team fall back on Smith. He also has never won a playoff game.
Now you always fire the coach because the players make more money.
Yeah. I think Mike Smith might be gone, bro.
And that's actually unfortunate.
Yeah, I don't think he's a bad coach, but if they win out the rest of the season, they will be 8-8.
He didn't give Matt Ryan all that money. And it's one of them things where you say, well, shit, I can't even really draft a quarterback because this is the owner's guy. I had to roll with him.
Yeah.
And so you get other players around him, and it's like, well, he still can't get the ball to these guys. What do I do?
Yeah.
As the coach. You know what I mean? It's like having Melo on your team. What do you do? Like, it don't matter who you put around him, it's not going to change Melo.
Yep. I agree, man. The Lions played the Steelers, and Ben Roethlisberger just simply had his way with the Detroit secondary.
Man, Ben's been having his way for 2 weeks now.
Yeah, he was just...
He's been very forceful.
Taking what the defense gave him and then some. Listen, you know?
He has been forceful in all aspects of his life right now.
He led an aerial assault on these dudes just all over the field, leaving all kinds of evidence, and nobody could contain them or lock them up.
When Ben is in the back...
Mm-hmm.
You do not know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you don't want to turn your back on Ben if you're one of the line, one of the defensive backs for the Lions.
Man, when he's actually calling out plays,
mm-hmm.
you can't hear what everyone else is saying, if they're yelling for help or what.
Right, exactly. You just sitting up there like, what is he going to do next? I hope we can get out of this alive. And that's basically what happened here. He had 367 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks, no fumble. Like, he just balled out. My man Le'Veon Bell savaged a mediocre fantasy day. He had 18 carries for 36 yards, but then he also had 4 catches for 52 yards, and I needed every last one of those to win my game the other day. But yeah, it's an interesting team here, man, because I thought the Steelers we're going to get Mike Tomlin fired. We talked about it on the show, and I was like, I got to ask the question. I hate to even ask it because I love Mike Tomlin, but could he get fired? And now I think even at 4-6, they have enough hope for it to be like, nah, don't fire that brother just yet.
Man, Big Ben has been so surgical
mm-hmm.
with his arms and hands.
Yes.
Yeah,
he cut scary. Him up. He'll cut him up. It is scary.
It's scary how he's playing right now. And
mm-hmm. – with no regard for any of the rules of defense.
I know there is someone out there
mm-hmm.
who was not a willing participant in his actions.
I just feel
you
like
can say it's the other football team,
right? That's what I want to say.
Innocent bystanders.
I just feel like I feel like they have silent wins that need to come forward and talk about what happened with Ben Roethlisberger and why the record is 4-6. You know what I mean? Like, there's teams out there that feel like we should have lost that game, and they're just scared to say anything.
Man, we need to do a 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that Friday and Saturday before game day. Just follow Ben around just right. to see.
See what
he's
up
doing
to
get his mind right for the game.
Yeah, he's getting he's getting back on that hot streak that's starting to make you wonder, like, what's going on, man?
Yeah, like, he's really focused on football right now.
Now, you want to know why the Lions lost this game? It's quite simple. Calvin Johnson only had 179 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 6 catches.
First half.
Yeah, that was for the whole game. And that's not acceptable.
Really, that was first half. The second half, he had, what, 10 yards?
Yeah, that's not acceptable, dog. Matthew Stafford got caught trying to be a quarterback again, trying to pass it around, get everybody involved. Look at these people that caught pass. Jock Bell caught pass. I don't give a fuck about Jock. Kay Durham? Who the fuck is Kay Durham? Didn't she run for, like, governor of North Carolina?
They don't have cool-ass nicknames.
Right.
Why the fuck they ain't getting the ball?
Reggie Bush out here thinking he's some type of running back and shit. Fumbling.
That's because he got mad the week before.
How many years do we have to get to November and have Reggie Bush release another press statement about how he feels he's an every down back before we go, nigga, you're not an every down back.
Yo,
the lady doth protest too much.
Yo, I love.
Shout out to Ben Roethlisberger.
I love when his coach put his ass on the bench. He told him, go ahead and take your helmet off.
Yeah, you done. You're done, champ.
Chillax.
You're done. But you're done around here.
I bet Reggie Bush was on the bench praying, I hope this nigga get hurt.
And he fumbled. If you pay attention, he fumbled once and lost it. But he had another fumble earlier that they just didn't throw the flag on. But if they would have threw the challenge flag, the Steelers would have got that.
Yup.
He's terrible. He's not... Okay, he's not terrible. He's not a every down back.
You
I don't
can't
give a
win
fuck.
With him. You're not gonna win with him.
He's the Carmelo Anthony of football.
The perfect system got rid of him with Drew Brees. He was in the perfect system, and they said, "No, we can't win with him." We'll keep Pierre.
They and not just Pierre, that little nigga that be catching them passes. They realized they could pay that little nigga like a third of what they pay Reggie. They was like, "Bye, Reggie."
Yep.
We don't need a Heisman doesn't matter in the NFL. You don't got one anyway though. But a Heisman don't matter in the NFL.
But do you think their coach would get fired for going for it on fourth down?
Because that changed
the game.
That was so stupid.
That changed the game.
They so lucky they 6-4, dog.
But does he still get fired at the end of the season?
Not yet, because they like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I could see him getting fired, but say they finish 10-6 and go to the playoffs, then I would think they won't fire him, even though he deserved to be fired for that moment.
Man, speaking of people saving a job when really it shouldn't be saved, is Greg Schiano for the Bucks.
Oh yeah.
How does 2 wins save your job? Can I show up for work 2 days out of the year and keep a job?
That tells you how low Tampa Bay's expectations are, dude. Like, to even entertain the idea that this dude could be saving his job at this point in the season is ridiculous.
For 2 wins, can I show up on the 4th of July right. and then show up on Christmas and be like, hey, I worked on holidays. Give me a year's salary. I've earned it.
They are lucky there's so much time left in the season because they're going to end up getting that dude fired because they got to play some good teams down the stretch. But nigga, just the fact that they, maybe he's not on the hot seat.
He won the locker room back. What? He gained the confidence of his players off 2 victories? Like, maybe they tired of losing and the other teams were just that terrible, like Matty Ice. Like, Matty maybe Ice. He's just that terrible.
But yeah, Reggie Bush, overrated. I mean, we should have known by now. Nothing else to really talk about here other than just throw the ball to Calvin Johnson and stop. Every time I look at a stat line for Detroit Lions, the passing receiving yards should look like Calvin Johnson, 12 receptions, this other dude, 2, this other dude, 2, a couple running backs, 1, and that's it.
Even if he didn't have the receptions, it should be thrown at.
Yeah, right, exactly.
He should still have, thrown it 20 times.
He was targeted 27 times.
Right.
He only caught 8 of them, but, you know, they threw it to him every time.
Yeah, it was 30 passes. He was targeted 27.
Yeah. Like, how open does another dude need to be before I even look at him? You know what I mean? Like, I would be looking at people like, hey, dog, I don't know if you was looking, dog, but when they triple team Calvin, I was by myself up the field.
Really?
Yeah, you might have dropped it.
You know what? Because my check down lasts longer than 2 seconds.
Yeah.
My check down is like 6 seconds. The pocket has collapsed. I ran out of the pocket.
Right.
Calvin still got 3 people on him. Now I might check down.
Right.
Or I might still lob it up there to Calvin.
I throw it away.
Right.
I saw you, Nate Burleson. It was late, man. I'll get you next time, dog. I'm sorry, man, but this is the game of the week.
Ironically, even though I may be wrong in my assessment of getting a new quarterback,
this was
Sunday's
the
game helped.
This was this made me happy and sad at the same time, because I was happy because Nick Foles played a great game, another great game. He didn't throw a touchdown, but he also didn't throw a pick again and didn't fumble again. So like this nigga going on like six, he's still keeping that 16 touchdowns, no picks alive. Keep in mind, everybody, and take note, he still is balling against bad defenses.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Redskins terrible.
Yeah. This was not a great game for him, for the record, but this is a bad defense and he seems to be able to at least play good against bad defenses. We're going to have to play some good defense. Like this weekend, we're playing the Cardinals. That might be an L, dog. Cardinals defense actually is good. People just don't pay attention to them.
And I'm going to say this about my Redskins. I'm going to back up off Robert Griffin, but like, I feel like he having that Cam Newton sophomore year combined with the injury. But he just chucking it up there, dog, like Randy Moss back there.
Yeah, I can't defend that shit. Well, here's it. All right. First of all, let's talk about the Eagles, so it'll be short. LeSean McCoy, he a beast, dog. He keep putting up fantasy numbers.
You think he been mad all them prior years when he couldn't get the run?
He's sitting up here like, I am going to run it 20 times every game all the time. Like, he don't give a fuck, dog. And we got the coach to give it to him. Chip Kelly, hey man, glad we didn't fire you. You know, I remember I was like, fuck it, I guess it's over. Like, I thought this shit was gonna be straight. I'm glad we didn't have the same problems as Andy Reid. But, you know, the shit was looking ugly, and, we all the way back, dog. So appreciate you, Chip. All right. Now let's talk about the Redskins. The best part of this loss for me is RG3 blaming everybody. Like, he blanked, dog. Like, coaches, O-line, wide receivers, everybody but him. And I, like, it was bittersweet because I love RG3. You know, I've argued motherfuckers down at the YMCA about some RG3. But it was bittersweet because part of me is like, should have picked up that phone. This is what McNabb was talking about. He would have taught you how to handle these situations. You think Donovan ain't never threw a pick to lose a game and off the back of his foot that he shouldn't have thrown? Nigga, a lot of them.
Man, I'm telling you, Shanahan was there when that call came through. He couldn't.
Looking at him like Ike Turner, put the phone down.
He couldn't answer it. I'm telling you, it's Shanahan, man. But, well, first of all, Shanahan should have been fired. I've been said that. He shouldn't have been able to hire his son.
Yeah.
But all in all, since he there, and it don't look like he's not going anywhere anytime soon.
There's a lot of politics in it, too, though.
Robert just, man, I want it to stop. Can we stop giving the bad presses? Like I say, it reminds me of Cam Newton's sophomore year all over again.
Except he helping the press. Like, with Cam, he would soak during the games, but then he would get in the press conference, and then because Cam wants to be he wants to be like a GQ cover type athlete. He don't want to, like, he thinks he's a, like, star that's bigger than football.
Somebody told this nigga he looked good.
Yeah, a couple people was like, you got that pretty skin. And now he won't be somebody. So he actually would still get in the press conference. Like, say what you want to about Cam Newton. You cannot knock his press conference abilities. Like, he just don't fuck up. Like, you would think he would fuck up when you watch him in the game, because he always, you know, when he had a head down and shit. Yep. But then he would get up there on that mic and be like, it's my fault, it's my responsibility. You know, as a team, we got to play better. I got to play better.
They gave him a hard time for taking so much responsibility.
Yes. Meanwhile, RG3 said, enough of this shit. I'm done. Like, I'm done covering for y'all. And the sad part is, I don't think he's wrong, but it doesn't matter because he's the quarterback. And he was wrong on that throw.
Man, he saw Any Given Sunday. You can't Willie Beeman your way up out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Bruh, stop doing the pop locks and rocks videos. All like we saw Willie Beeman. It didn't turn out well. Your knee is like his shoulder. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They don't give a fuck about you. So learn to play the game. Learn the system. It's just like like navigating anything else as a black man in society.
Mm-hmm.
You keep your both hands on the steering wheel. If you make a move, you let the officer know, I'm going to move my hand and get my wallet.
Yeah.
Is that okay with you, sir?
See,
learn to do that in your press conference.
The thing with RG3 that killed him is that he was so wrong on that throw.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't, like, if he would have had this same exact reaction any other week of the season that they lost a game, I would be like, you know what, man? It's sad that he really came out of pocket like that, but defense is terrible. The wide receivers ain't performing well. The line isn't blocking. The play calling is terrible. And we all, like, we say that every week.
Man, he.
But this nigga waited till the 1 week when he was wrong to be like, yeah, man, the play calling is terrible. The wide receivers dropping back. We like, yeah, nigga, but why you throw it just up for grabs on third and one?
He did a fadeaway half-court shot.
Yeah.
Who the fuck does a fadeaway half-court shot? That's what he did.
He needed 1 yard. Like, dude, you realize at home, I'm rooting against him, even though I'm starting him in my fantasy game, right?
Right.
But at this point, he had salvaged the fantasy game because he had, like, the first half was atrocious.
Yeah, he put up the 2 TDs.
Mm-hmm.
Yards. Yep.
So I'm like, I don't need him to win this game. I need him to lose it. So that the Eagles can get this W and go to first place in the division. But I was like, part of me was like, you know, I don't want him to lose in a way that makes him responsible. And when he threw that fucking pick, I was sitting up there like, this is one of the moments in life where you can't believe it's happening. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, nothing this good happens to the Eagles ever. You just gonna throw it to us?
Man, we don't have any 6'5 receivers back there.
Who's, I don't even know. I've looked at that play like 10 times since then. I still don't know who it was supposed to go to.
It, right, but if I could understand if we had an AJ Green or some big 6'5 right. dude back there that's like, it doesn't matter what you toss up there,
yeah.
he's bigger than everyone back there. He's gonna catch it or a minimum tip it away.
Yeah.
But he lobbed it up there, nobody was near that.
But there's nobody near it. Like, that's the thing, is like, even if it wasn't AJ Green, like say it was Pierre Garçon. If Pierre Garçon was in the area, I'd be like, oh, okay, so he just underthrew it or overthrew it or what. It was like to where no one was. It really looked like intentional grounding. Like, you know, like he was yep. trying to just throw it away and it slipped.
You know, I'm gonna be honest too.
Yeah.
After watching a few games with him,
mm-hmm.
I think he lost some arm strength.
Well,
and I don't know yeah. how that happens when, if you're not able to be on your knee, at that point you think, I'm doing more arm exercises and strengthening my arm so that because I'm not as mobile, I can still throw the ball harder and faster and more accurate. And it's like he lost arm strength.
Well, you need to plant your knee to really make a good throw anyway, right?
I get that.
But what I was going to say is I don't think it's his arm strength. The defenses are playing him different. You're seeing the same thing happen with Colin Kaepernick too, by the way, where they're adjusting to these quarterbacks that, you know, these option quarterbacks now, where they are taking that extra man out of the box and daring you to throw on them. You know what I mean? Like last year they used to be like, oh, they might run. Let's leave a spy on them. Let's put an extra man so we can put pressure on them to make them, you know, get the ball down the field. But, now I think they're taking that extra man out of the box, putting them in the coverage and being like, throw it if you want to. We'll give you the run.
So then,
and if you look at this year, the Redskins have not run the ball very effectively, even when the team is giving them the run.
So then, does that then support what I said last week as far as supporting the fact that we need another quarterback then? Because if that's the theory you're going with, they use that same logic against Cam Newton,
yeah,
Russell Wilson, or any other mobile quarterback. And you obviously,
but those dudes are healthy. I really think
Kaepernick's healthy.
I really, but I don't think Kaepernick is I don't think his receivers are healthy. Like missing Crabtree, I think is huge for him, because that was his possession guy. Well, he wanted to go intermediate. And also, the 49ers really think that they're an old school smash mouth run the ball team, and they're not.
Yeah, they don't run the ball that much.
Yeah, but they think they are. You know, like when I watch their games, they try to run the ball very predictably. Like, oh, we just can run it when we want to, and they can't. Like, they did that shit like two times this year, but that's not who they are. And when they were playing good last year, it was cause they were letting Kaepernick throw the ball down the field a little bit and it was opening up shit, you know? But here's the thing. I think that with RG3, it's a little bit different and I really do believe that this offseason, he had to rehab and did not make the leap that you're supposed to make your second year, where you're supposed to be really concentrating on game film, adjustments, your accuracy, all this shit. He was just trying to get back on the field. And that was kind of a mistake, not really on his part, because that's what players are supposed to do, but on the coaching staff for even being like, you will be the starter day one. Like, we're going to make sure that you're back and ready to play. And it's because I feel like the coaches felt compelled to get his ass back out there so that they wouldn't get blamed for what happened at the end of last year when he shouldn't have been out there at all.
See, I don't think they was rushing it up until he kept saying, I'll be back game one. I'll be ready to play. And it's like, maybe he'll be back. We don't know. You know what
yeah.
I mean? And
don't you think Shanahan and them would have lost their job? They would have been like, man, we don't know when he's going to be back. We should, like, it would have been more like a confirmation of like, he should have never been out there.
Here's the thing about what I guess maybe because I don't understand this part of the NFL,
mm-hmm.
is that it's a league that people are going to watch regardless. Right. They're going to have fans regardless.
Right.
Think about Shirley as a Tampa Bay fan regardless. Yeah,
she has watched so much shitty football in the last 3 or 4 years.
Cleveland, they don't lose fans.
Right.
So Shanahan could have come out and been honest and be like, you know what? Hey, because we didn't handle it doesn't matter. But because it wasn't handled correctly with Robert at the end of the season, we're going to make sure that we handle it appropriately going forward. Regardless if he says he wants to be back, as a decision, as a coaching staff, and as a player, we're going to go forward and make the best decision, not just based off of.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. You say that. But if they were thinking that way, he wouldn't have never been out there in the first place.
But that's what I'm saying. They don't get think why that it way. Didn't happen.
Yeah. They don't even think that way. Like, obvious to everybody I know who watched that game was like, he's not right.
Right. I agree.
You know what I mean? Everybody I know watched the game. And then every time he took a big hit, people would be like, they should take him out of the game.
Yep. You felt like he was going to die.
Yes. but people forget, like, before, because he got hurt, like, 2 games before he got, like, hurt.
Yep.
And it was obvious something was wrong then. And I remember there was a play in this game where he, like, was running and tried to dive out of bounds and got hit then. And I was like, yo, he not going to get up. And he got up and I was like, just sit him down. Like, you're down. Like, it's not, you know, you're probably not going anywhere. You did spend a high draft pick on a backup. This is the time where you go, this is why we spend a high pick on the draft backup, and you let him play, and Robert Griffin's just gonna have to learn to do, you know, to pout about it.
And I guess maybe if Shanahan, like all of a sudden now you can't control your quarterback, please. You've ran McNabb out of town and Haynesworth. You're saying you don't know how to deal with players and say, look, I'm the coach. You're not playing this game. Like, I don't care what height, I don't care what.
Yeah, and they had that whole, like, well, Dr. Andrew gave me a thumbs up, but he was saying thumbs up just means.
Cool. Andrew's not the coach. He's not the coach.
Right. No, I'm saying this is why I'm saying, in my opinion, the reason that Shanahan was down with getting Griffin back on the field was because of all the mistakes we just pointed out. And that is a pattern, not a, oh, now it's time for me to change. To me, it's a pattern that says, yeah, that means that he was going to rush Robert Griffin back to get on the field, regardless of what RG3 said. Like, he was like, the only way RG3 wouldn't be on the field is if he was like Derrick Rose.
And that's so stupid. And that's when, because ownership had, especially our owner of all owners, our owner, you can have a conversation and say, hey, we might not, even with our backup, I know it's a high draft pick, but he's not the same caliber of player as Robert. Right. And I don't want to rush him. If he's going to be our franchise quarterback, we might lose a few games, and it might affect the season. What do you think about this? I'm okay with it, but I don't want to make that decision and you're unhappy about it as the owner.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Like, it was super pressed.
Have that real-ass conversation. Like, be a man about it at some point. Like, you don't have to run all these games.
But see, in football, they measure being a man by doing something stupid. You know what I mean?
Like having heart attacks and I'm showing up. I'm coming back Monday.
Every time you do something stupid, that's what they go, oh, now that's a man move. And even RG3, which, you know, as much as I like the dude and I root for him, he is as smart as people claim him to be. He is a victim of the stupid mentality.
He's still a young.
Cause it wasn't just like people remember the last injury, but that whole season he was doing dumb shit. Like coming back in the game with a concussion and shit. Like RG3 is a dude that still believes in that tough guy code of if you're able to breathe, you can get on the field, and it's not smart.
You know what? It's almost like he's Geno Cousin.
Oh man, I don't want to go that far.
And let me put it in perspective. Mm-hmm. You got Marcus Vick, who you know is a complete idiot, right? But Michael Vick ain't been doing so much more smarter shit than his brother. Just a little bit, he a better player, but he's still been doing stupid shit for the up until he had that revelation and that light bulb went off. That was forced upon him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That forced the life change that he accepted the life change.
Yeah. But nah, something bad had to happen real bad before he woke up. Like,
and so he was continuously doing stupid shit. So while we might praise Robert, he might be just as stupid as these other dudes.
See, that's the thing. I've always thought that was stupid of him. I just root for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I never bought into the, he's really smart. He went to Stanford or wherever. Like, that part about RG3 never was what was impressive to me. Like, the shit that was impressive to me was the stuff on the field. Cause I try not to get too wrapped up in these dudes off the field. Cause I think a lot of people set themselves up to get their hearts broke.
Well, not even just that. It's the other things, the way he carried himself, like how he conducted himself early on in interviews. Like, when he first came into the league, rookie camp, all this stuff, he conducted himself very well in interviews.
Yeah, I'm including that in the things that don't impress me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like.
But a Geno interview and a Marcus Smith interview.
I've never seen a Geno interview.
You've seen a Geno.
No, I haven't.
Even some of the pictures, if you pull up, is from the interview. The faces they make.
The pictures say 1,000 words, dog.
Right.
Like, I never even heard that brother speak, but I've seen them pictures. I said, oh no, brother, no.
Yeah, man. The post game, even after wins, it's just like,
let me see. Here's this video of Geno Smith.
I guess I'm not saying he Geno Smith, but what I'm saying, he's the cousin, the same way Michael Vick is Marcus's big brother. Even when they talk, you know it's a clear difference. But they still got the same similar mentality where they're going to continuously do stupid shit. And I think Robert, as much as we like him and want to like him for on the field, and even a lot of things off of the field with the fun and the videos and all those other things, he gonna do stupid shit, and he's not. It's affecting his career, and it's gonna shorten the longevity of his career.
Well, I want to dial it back a little bit and say, I think that mentality is part of being a football player, and he's just no exception to it. And if he was being like Derrick Rose right now and being like, yeah, you know what, guys, I'm going to take my time, I'm not going to play, then he'd be catching hell the other way. Like, why is he scared to get on the field? You know, he need to come back and, you know, he got to be a man, you know. Is he scared because he played hurt and now he won't do it?
Man, after that season ending hit that he took, nobody would have said that.
I don't know, man. I feel like people still would, man. Let me play some Geno Smith audio. Let's see here.
What was last night like for you?
It was a test of patience.
Why is the audio so bad? I can't even understand what the fuck.
I will say, he looks like that kid from Martin that would show Roscoe? Up at the door, yes, with the snotty nose.
I hear you. What about this? Let's see if we can get some better sound. I want to see if he sounds as stupid as he looks.
Not really. I mean, it's my mom's birthday. That's the biggest thing for me. You know, like I always say, I'm a selfish guy. So, I'm really there to enjoy the birthday. And once I get drafted, then we'll share a moment with them. But right now, I'm just, you know, happy-go-lucky. Happy to be here.
Did you get her a gift of any sort?
Oh, yeah. I got her plenty of gifts.
What are some positive?
Yeah, who does the audio for the NFL? What is this shit? We got better audio in the fucking podcast than they do, and these motherfuckers are professionals. Like,
the money goes to their pockets, man, not anything else. You've been to the stadium, them uncomfortable ass.
Listen to this shit.
When you left last night, you told Susie Colbert you didn't think you'd be back today. What changed your mind, and kind of what brought you back?
You know what? Just talking to all my supporters and everyone who had watched the draft. Everyone from my high school and my university.
All right, yeah, he kind of stupid, but
and you remember the pre-draft? I forgot Geno was a dude. Mm-hmm. That he was expected to go the first round, and they showed the photo.
He was in that room myself, dog. That was dirty as shit, dog. But look though, man.
Poor Geno.
Here's what I'm saying. I think people still need to dial it back on RG3 because I want to emphasize, I believe he's playing hurt. I don't think he's gonna be right the entire year. I think in the offseason he will improve, and he will come back in his third year, and you'll start seeing improvements on the things that he was able to do his first year, because I have not forgotten how impressive that first year was, man. And the things about his game that were stupid, I just want him to learn from. And for all appearances, he has learned some of the shit, because I don't see him taking as many risky ass runs like he was before. And now we'll find out later if that's because he hurt his knee and he just couldn't do it, or if he was like, I understand now that I can't be throwing my body out here every time I get on the field.
Man.
So I feel like I'll be vindicated next year, man, because and possibly even down the stretch this year, but I feel like I'll be vindicated next year, man. And people that gave up on the dude are going to come back and be like, all right, I gave up on him a little too early. Cause people go through rough stretches, man. And I feel like as a casual observer and as an Eagles fan, if I found out that Shanahan called the Eagles last week and said, we'll take Nick Foles off your hands if you want to come get RG3. He'd be an Eagle right now. Like, y'all can give up on him, but I see potential.
Man, I'm used to us losing. I mean, we had Jason Campbell.
Yeah.
We had Gus Frat.
Right. This is still the best Redskins quarterback that I've seen.
Recent memory.
Since like Doug Williams, probably.
Right. Like, so it's, again, I blame Shanahan for most of it, but
yeah.
Robert just can't stay out the media for himself.
Well, this, like I said, this time was the first time that I said, yeah, bruh, you fucked that up.
Yeah.
And the fact that he couldn't take it on himself was a bad look. But honestly, everything he said was true. You just can't do that. The NFL just don't let quarterbacks do that. Like, that's how you lose a job.
It was the wrong week. Week three, yeah. Maybe. Week two.
If this was like, shit, next week. You know what I mean? Like, any week that he didn't specifically throw the worst pass of his career, he would have been right.
Half court log.
Dog, I threw that, man. That pass is so bad, I rewound it. Like, nah, what? Like, why would he do that? Well, did it slip? Was somebody else? Wow. I don't care about the Jaguars and the Cardinals.
Nobody does.
27-14. Jaguars still 1-9. The Raiders beat the Texans. I would rejoice in this, but my man didn't even play, dog. I was mad as shit when I seen this final score. I went to check out them stats. I was like, what? Apparently, Terrell Pryor hurt his knee, man, and he hadn't been playing. He's not playing this week, and now they're talking about McLaurin's going. That was the thing. They said McLaurin threw 3 touchdowns. I was like, he sound like something on McDonald's menu for 99 cents.
It was the Texans, though.
Right. Yeah, that's true too.
He threw it against. I mean, first of all, he won a game against the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Who changes quarterbacks off of that win?
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Rashard Jennings, though. Rashard Jennings, 22 carries, 150 yards and a touch. At this point, don't you have to say no more Darren McFadden? Like, what's the point of you showing up to the arena, Holmes? Like, it's the last year of your contract.
Hey, man.
You stay getting hurt.
His name not even on the locker right now.
Yeah. I would just be like, why don't you just play some PlayStation? Sit this one out, champ. All right. We got you an Xbox One.
He'll be on the practice squad soon.
Yeah. You? I don't even know why they bothered to start this nigga from now. Ben Tate took over Arian Foster's role. Played pretty good.
Of course.
I know why I wanted to talk about this. Motherfucking Matt Schaub. Cussed out Andre Johnson. Andre Johnson's 10 receptions, 116 yards, having ass, by the way. Cussed him out and made Andre Johnson lead the field, dog. He quit.
Man. I was so disappointed in Andre.
Me
but
too,
at the same
man.
Time, I was like, oh, he's telling them, do it without me then.
Right. Yeah, he's like, go out there and throw it to some other niggas then.
Yeah, do it without me.
I don't know. Last time I checked, I had 10 catches, 116 yards, bitch.
Oh, coaches, y'all. Oh, no, no, y'all supporting him, right? Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Do it without me.
I don't know if you noticed, but you playing in this game and I ain't got a touchdown. Coincidence?
All of a sudden, next week, cough, cough, before the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming down with something. I won't be able to make it. Yeah. Let me see how you do then.
Exactly.
Walking off the field.
Try throwing it to some of these niggas nobody's ever heard of.
But my first initial was just like yours. Bro, where you going? Don't let him run you off.
Don't.
But then I was like, wait, no, walk off. But yeah. Don't play Sunday. Yeah. Don't play Sunday. You know, just like I said with Vic, sit out, prove that point.
Mm-hmm.
At the time Vic was in a position, he could have proved that point, and he wouldn't have pulled that hamstring potentially.
Dog, this team is a clusterfuck. But quietly, Andre Johnson is amassing a good season.
Because Shaw hadn't been playing most of the season.
Right. It didn't really start until Shaw was out.
Man, I'm going to tell you what Andre need to do, though. He need to get with his boy. What's the old running back? He lost his job.
Arian Foster.
Arian. He need to get with Arian, hang out together, and say, listen, whatever I had, I must have passed it to him. They both sit out. Arian will get his starting job back. And Johnson will prove his point to sit Shaw the fuck down and tell him to shut the fuck up.
Dog, here's Arian Foster's touchdown totals for the year in each game. 0-0-0, 0-0-0, 0, bye week. Matt Schaub's out. 3-2. Matt Schaub comes back. 0.
Right.
It's obvious what needs to happen here.
Right, but they have to do it together. And I'm telling you, Andre say, look, man, whatever I must have had, I gave it to Arian. Arian was like, man, I don't know what he had. He gave it to me. We was just trying to break down game film for the week, trying to calm down, move forward, and whatever he got.
Matt Schaub, another one of these dudes that got paid for being a white dude that's not Mike Vick, and nobody ever forgot it. Like, I'm sorry, but that him and Matt Ryan, two dudes that got paychecks for not being Mike Vick. The Bears beat the Ravens. In overtime, the Ravens was actually like winning this thing, and they just kind of blew it down the stretch.
That's what happened when you don't have Anquan.
Yeah, and it's also what happens when you have Joe Flacco and you pay him all that money and shit. The saddest part is they wasted Ray Rice's only good game of the season. 25 rushing attempts, 131 yards and a touch.
He was due.
Right.
Next week, put him on your bench.
On everybody's bench, by the way. He was already on your bench, just for the record. Like, if you was starting Ray Rice last week, you just was hoping. You've been hoping against hope for a while.
But you had to start him, because the week before, he didn't do anything.
But that was, but he had been, like, he's been having some bad games all season.
That's
like
every other week with him.
It used to be, but let me tell you these game laws, dog. You about to be like, word.
It's every other
Because it used to be down week, two good weeks. Down weeks, two good weeks. Then last year, down week, good week. Down week, good week. This season, dude, he's been having some bad games. Like, you're not going to believe this shit. 12 for 36, 13 for 36, 5 for 17, 27 for 74, which is still a pretty bad, you know, average, but at least they ran more with him and they won. 14 for 34, 15 for 45. 11 for 17, 18 for 30, 25 for 131. That really is his first good game.
Who was that against? That's the
Chicago.
Yeah, the last game. You know what, man? Is he holding out? Is he trying to show Forte?
Sum up.
Is he trying to show Forte this how you hold out?
I don't know.
You play, but don't get hurt.
Is he mad about this money? Like, just do it without me then. Nah, you good, Flacco. Just keep throwing that shit. Fuck y'all.
Oh, Ram play? Cool. He fall down right at the...
Yeah. I'm good. Oh, yeah. We're going to run. How many yards you need? 3? I'm going to get 2. Yeah. How about you throw that shit? Yeah.
Think about it, though. He really has to be mad about something.
Someone told me...
Did his wife leave him?
Hey, someone told me he runs like... A kid in the winter in mittens and a coat. You know how you try to run in the snow?
Yeah.
He runs like a kid in the snow.
A Christmas story.
But all the time.
But he has to be mad about something, man.
I don't know. Something up.
Something happened. Either he wanted money and couldn't get it and know it's there, or there's things going on at home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is, but it's something. He can't have fallen off that bad.
In 1 year.
He could carry you.
Right.
When Ray Rice could really carry you and win you games.
It doesn't even look like the offensive line either, because, like, he'll get through the hole and it just feel like he in quicksand. The Bengals played the Browns. They beat the shit out of the Browns. But yep. Andy Dalton continues to be suspect.
Yes, so terrible.
just 93 yards.
Man, we told y'all at the beginning of the season about him.
93 yards? Hey, but he had 3 touchdowns and 2 picks. But that should never be an acceptable time.
And who got him?
Not A.J. Green.
Right.
That should never be an acceptable time where any quarterback with A.J. Green on the field finishes with 93 yards. Sorry. God, he's terrible.
Against Cleveland, man.
Cleveland. Not just Cleveland. Jason Campbell led Cleveland.
Right.
Like, not
Didn't
even.
Did he throw, like, 3 touchdowns that game?
Jason Campbell threw 3 picks.
Right. So that means you had the ball a lot as the Bengals.
He's terrible.
And he still only got 93 yards.
Oh, my God, man. Oh, he wasn't white, boy.
Man. Why is he not fired?
Dude.
Why has he not been cut midseason? Because you could get a monkey back there to throw the ball to A.J. Green.
It must be so nice to be a white dude, man. As a quarterback, like, the sky is the limit. You be out there fucking up. You be making excuses. Hey, at least they get the wins. You see, that's the thing about Andy Dalton. All he does is win. Well, what about Vince Young? Terrible. He's terrible. He's a bad leader.
I guarantee you during their interviews, they show up and be like, yeah, well, we saw your numbers during your college season. You know, you didn't do so well. You didn't. I'm white, though.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. Go ahead, Andy. You can keep starting. Sorry about that. Call in the black quarterbacks so we can fire them real quick. Thanks.
Right.
Secretary on the way out.
Tannehill beat your boy in Miami out for a job the other year when they was on Hard Knocks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he, the wind-up quarterback. What, I can't think his name right now.
David Garrard.
Right. Tannehill.
Mm-hmm.
People. He showed up and said, "I'm white," and got the job.
He didn't even know what division the teams was. They're like, "What teams are in your division?" This nigga was like, Nebraska, I think, Arizona State. Is Alabama in another? That's like, nigga, them ain't no NFL teams.
They didn't even say, you know what, let's train him, prepare him for the league, let him Mm-mm. sit down, get ready. They said, let's throw him out here now.
Yeah.
And we're going to get rid of this black dude.
Hopefully some of that whiteness will rub off on him. The Chargers suck again. On the low. I don't remember when this happened.
Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle must have did it. Ryan Matthews actually had a really good game. 19 carries, 127 yards. That's by far the best game he's played in a long time. And Phillip Rivers, only threw 1 pick, but, yeah. They lost.
It's hard to explain. You can't even blame North.
Nah.
Cause he's not there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how this happened. I don't know.
Man, you know what? Anytime you go to Miami, it's suspect on how you're going to play that Sunday. That's basically the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, I don't know. It must be the women. Dudes go down there, hit the beaches, and just who knows what you're going to get. But, yeah, I don't care much about that game. But, yep. Yeah, Giants beat the Packers. So, Giants fans are winning just enough games to get a bad draft pick.
But Rodgers wasn't.
Yeah, Rodgers didn't play, but I like the fact that this moves the Giants further away from a good draft pick.
The thing is, they had to win. That's mm-hmm. a game where you can't explain losing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're Eli and you coughing, you can't be like, oh, well, it was the Packers.
Yeah.
You can't, if they had Rodgers, they easy lost, they can walk away. You know, 2 or 3 picks with Eli, and it's like, cool, we lost the game. We still going.
That Tolson dude still threw 3 picks.
Right.
You know, the defense, all they got to do is just stay in the box on Eddie Lacy because, you know, the dude can't throw the ball.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know how you lose this game.
You can't. We'll find a way. Don't worry. If the Redskins was playing, we would have found a way.
Like, the Giants could have even won this game with Eli Manning having one of his typical 3-pick games. Like, they still would have won. Let me see who else. Vikings and the Seahawks. Seahawks beat the shit out of the Vikings.
Russell had a great game, man.
This is one of those games where it feels like Russell Wilson and the dudes felt bad about the whatever happened the week before.
His receiver back.
Who? Golden Tate?
No. I'm drawing a blank on this.
Rice? Name. Sidney Rice?
Nope.
Percy Harvin?
Percy.
Oh, yeah. Percy didn't even really get a lot of touches this game, but they were testing his health out, and they were basically next week, they think he can get a full load.
And still, just the fact he's in the game, as a defense,
you gotta respect it.
You have to respect it.
Now, it didn't hurt that they played against Christian Ponder and Matt Castle, who went a combined 2 touchdowns, 3 picks.
Still got Adrian Peterson, though.
Peterson had 21 carries, 65 yards. Right.
Defense showed up, man.
Toby Gerhardt had 7 for 60. Wait a minute, 7 for 67. You know, I'm going to be honest, man. I'm going to say the jury's still out on that you can run on them. I didn't realize that these motherfuckers had, that Toby Gerhardt had 67. Like, he must have had a couple of long runs in there, but, I'm going to say the jury's still out, man. Like,
they showed up that game. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm not saying anything about like Seattle's going to lose or whatever. I just remember that I brought it up. So if anything happens for this, cause I'm expecting them to go to the playoffs. I'm expecting them to be like, probably even have a bye, but I'm saying if somebody can put them out of the playoffs, it will probably have to be with a really good running performance. It's not going to be like, oh, we just passed all over these niggas and put up a lot of points. Somebody's going to have to put them out with like 160 yards on the ground.
And what playoff team would you say has a strong running game though? You can't say Denver.
Let me think about it. Well, no, Denver has a stronger running game than you think. But I don't think
they run it.
they run it, but I just don't think it matters. I don't think it'll matter in the playoffs. You know what I mean? It'll be totally up to Peyton Manning if he's going to try to do that dink and dunk shit or put his ego to the side and let him run it. And I don't know that he will, you know? So I would, that's why I don't feel confident with him. But, let me think. Who else is going to the playoffs? The Panthers are going. I don't like the Panthers running game because they have too many running backs and they need to commit to one running back if they really want to have a better running game. The 49ers running game, it can be deadly, but I don't trust it.
Well, the 49ers can't beat them.
If Crabtree is back, though, I think that makes a difference.
They showed you they can't beat them.
I know you feel strongly about that. I don't feel as strongly as you. Let me see. Is there anybody else that I would be scared of? That might be it, man. I'm trying to think. The Saints definitely don't have a running game. Yeah, that's about right. I can't think of who else will be in the playoff hunt. The Eagles could, because the Eagles do have a super strong running game.
Eagles got a running game. And you probably will. You'll beat the Cowboys in the division.
Yeah, it's possible if we get that matchup. But it's also possible we won't even get that matchup.
If your quarterback keep playing the way he playing now?
Well, see, I don't believe in Foles like everybody else do, though.
It's not about believing in him, but he's being consistent.
That's true.
And right now, Shady McCoy is being consistent, and he's not hurt.
Right, but I'll believe in Foles if he starts. If he can win some games against some of these better defenses, then I'll even if he doesn't play as well, I'm okay with that. Like, if he comes out with those 2 picks this weekend against the Cardinals, but has a relatively good game, I'm okay with that. I need to see him have some, to play some good teams though. Cause this shit where he beats the fuck out of these whack teams, is not what's up, dog. Like it's still suspect. So I'm a little skeptical, but, yeah, good for the Seahawks, man. And, that was the kind of win that they needed, man. The Saints beat the 49ers. That's actually a really big win. And yeah, like we've been saying all day, Kaepernick, man.
And
it's not good.
The 49ers had that game.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Brees came down, was like, listen, I'm still Drew Brees, bitch.
Mm-hmm. 127 yards for Kaepernick in the air. Only 25 on the ground. That's just not good. And on the low, Frank Gore, 13 for 48. Shit. They need Crabtree back bad, man. And I hope that can help because, you know, there's just as good a chance that they having Crabtree back. If he's rusty at all, or if Kaepernick really is the problem, it won't make enough difference. But yeah, Frank Gore, man, like, people keep talking about how much of a running team this is. Frank Gore has only had two games over 100 yards this season.
Yeah.
20 for 153 against St. Louis and 101 yards against Arizona.
So is it the line, maybe? The offensive line is one of the reasons Kaepernick isn't playing as well as people would want him to play, and the running game isn't as strong? Because the offensive line typically sets the tone for everything else.
That could be part of it, man. But when I've been watching, man, sometimes he just misses motherfuckers downfield.
I blame coaching. Anytime if you have a player that's supposed to be that great, like he was proclaimed to be at the beginning of the season and the end of last year, if he doesn't progress the way he should, you have to blame coaching, because that's who's supposed to be working with him.
I just feel bad because he's getting blacker and blacker every week at this rate.
Like, right, because why isn't the coach being looked at as the problem like every other team?
This is because he's half black. He got a half black quarterback. And when you lose, people just go, oh, it's the black part.
He showed up in his interview and said, I'm half black. Mm-hmm. I mean, he said, I'm half black, so the white side of me is who's going to play on Sunday.
Right. He was like, come on, man. And they said, we'll think about it. We got to see what's up with Alex Smith first. But yeah, that was pretty bad. He hasn't really had a lot of good games, man.
Who do they play next week?
Next week? It doesn't say. Hold on. I can go back and see. Hold on. But let me run down his stats real quick though. This is just passing yards for the season. 412 in the first game against Green Bay, his first ever. And I remember when I said this and people laughed, and I said, some people got mad at me, by the way. Mm-hmm. But I said, Kaepernick still hasn't had a 300 yard passing game.
That's when Jaws dubbed him the greatest quarterback in the league.
Yeah. And people were like, well, he had a 400-yard pass. I said, right, he's only had 200-yard games, 100-yard games, below 100-yard games, and a 400-yard game. But he's never had a 300-and-something-yard passing game. So everybody thought I was picking. Let's talk about the rest of his games. 127, 150, 167, 113, 252, 199, 164, 90, 127. For passing, there's a lot of ones.
You know, they used to take that last year because he would have like 70 yards rushing.
Mm-hmm.
And it would put him up in the twos.
Yep. And he's not having all those rushing yards this year, man. Just things are changing around this dude very rapidly. The other thing is, last year, it wasn't always one something. He had the 117, but I believe that was the game that, like, someone might have got hurt or something. I would have to look at the stats of that one. But, like, he had that one game where he didn't have a lot of yards, but it was like his first game. Alex Smith started. He took his spot and he only had 117. After that, 243, 233, 208, 185, 221, 244, 276. That matters. 200 yard games. Like, he's not doing it anymore. So they losing. You said you want to know who they play next week?
Yeah.
All right. Because
right now they still have potential to be in the playoffs, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they're out of it. Their record is 6-4. So, I mean, they have a chance.
Next week, Sunday could break their season.
Yeah. It really could, man. Why the fuck want to show me their schedule? Here we go. Let's see. It looks like they play Washington. Sorry, man. Looks like that's a win. So maybe, that'll be 7-4.
Maybe we don't know which Robert Griffin is going to show up, and we don't know which defense is going to show up.
Monday Night Football. The Washington Redskins, 49ers. Ouch. Sorry, RG3.
We'll see.
Just get out of there alive, bro.
Robert, just win your – at the same time, it's like I want Robert to win.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's fucking up our draft picks.
I just need him to be alive at the end of this game. 49ers defense is tough. You saw how they played Cam, and he big, and they was fucking him up. The Broncos played the Chiefs, and they did what I told y'all they were going to do, beat the Chiefs because the Chiefs are terrible. At least the Broncos beat the shit out of the sorry teams they played. The Chiefs be barely winning and y'all motherfucker, Alex Smith the game manager. Game manage my nuts. Terrible ass quarterback.
I still feel like the Chiefs will win that game at home.
Sure they will. They'll win everything. They're gonna be the best
but
team.
But I'm not as confident as them like I am with Seattle.
Them niggas are terrible, man.
Listen, I'm a roll with Seattle because even if Seattle was to lose the rest of the games for the rest of the season, I was right about them over the first half of the season. I'm rarely right when it comes to sports and teams winning.
Alex Smith, you do realize Alex Smith threw for less than 50% completion this game. It's terrible. He's terrible, man.
Andy, man. Andy, you was coming off a bye week, man. That was like an automatic win for you, Andy.
These niggas was down 10. Or actually, it was more than 10 in the fourth. And Alex Smith coming out there throwing checkdowns, bro. I was like, what is he doing? Like, you have to throw the ball low, like, out there. You have to throw it to Dwayne Bowe. Most yards on the team that game for receiving, Dwayne Bowe with 57.
Here's the thing I don't understand. This is the year that Andy should have had a bad year coming to a new team, terrible quarterback. Like, they should have sucked this year. They would have got a great quarterback in the draft. It would have been his quarterback, his system. They would have came out next year 10-0, and you'd have been like, they supposed to be winning these games, and they look good as fuck doing it. Mm-hmm. Now he's going to be stuck with Alex Smith again next year.
Yep.
And they not going to win in the playoffs.
No, and the clock management of Andy Reid still be stuck with that too. It's going to start mattering, y'all. Can't play sorry teams your whole season.
They still went out the rest of these games, potentially. Mm-hmm. I think they can. It was the Broncos. Like you said,
Broncos going to beat them. Broncos going to beat them even in Kansas City.
Maybe.
They going to beat them there too. Watch. The Chiefs ain't good. They just not good. They keep playing sorry people.
I'm depending on Andy.
Remember when I broke down the quarterbacks they faced this season and it was all backups? Like, it wasn't even the starter of the sorry teams.
I'm depending on Andy. It has nothing to do with, I based a win off Andy.
And
Andy not losing coming off a bye week.
This is his first loss off a bye week too. I'm glad you brought that up. The Patriots lost to the Panthers on a great game by Cam Newton. But also a cheating ass call by the refs. But I don't care because fuck them. They're cheaters anyway.
Right.
I have no sympathy for these niggas. I was so glad they got cheated. I was like, get off the field, Tom, you bitch. He was over there yelling at the refs.
I disagree. I don't think it was a cheating call.
Oh, you think it was a legit call?
I think the flag was thrown, but it was no way, Gronk was going to catch that pass.
I do too. And motherfuckers are trying to like everybody's in, well, you never know what kind of play someone can make. Or, well, I mean, if he would have thrown it. Look, dog, he didn't see that dude who intercepted it. Like, that's the part about this that people keep tossing up and trying to act like it's not a big deal. I think that play was designed to go to the back of the end zone. And I think he didn't see the dude that stepped in front of it and picked it.
He threw it short. Here's the other thing. Have y'all seen Gronk on? You do realize all them surgeries he's had. Have you seen Gronk dive for any balls like that? No, he ain't diving for shit. Gronk was not going to get that pass.
Like, I would have understood if the pass was, like, kind of close or over there, but that shit got picked off, like, 6 yards away from the
dude
play.
Dude had to fall on the ground to catch the ball.
Yeah, and I'm sure it was defensive holding or something, but fuck it.
Was he held? Yes. Mm-hmm. Was he going to catch that pass? No. Okay, then.
Also, this idea that the Patriots don't get a lot of calls, fuck them. I mean, every other call that game, it felt like, damn, Patriots got another one. Then they get fucked at the end, and people are like, you know, it wasn't fair. They should have given the game to Tom Brady. Fuck him. Fuck the Patriots.
Right, because they shouldn't have even been in position to move downfield that fast.
Right.
Based off penalty calls.
Penalties.
From the Panthers. That bullshit. Whole drive.
Yes.
That entire drive. Oh, we don't want to talk about that.
Roughing the passer, touched Tom Brady on the hair. 25 yards and a touchdown. That's right. We give touchdowns as penalties.
Right.
Now.
It was like 3rd and 20 at one time. Oh, penalty, first down. Automatic first down. Yeah. Like, what?
The true star of the show, though, was Cam Newton. 62 yards rushing on the ground. Only ran when he had to.
But here's the thing. You know all those guys that we see at the YMCA.
I ain't seen them since I called them racist.
I can't
Nick,
think of
yeah. Nick is one of them.
It's like, where y'all at now?
Where y'all at? Nick and John?
Can we talk about Cam? Can we talk about Cam now?
When I called you racist, and then they told me, well, you know, I'll be impressed when he beats the 49ers and the Patriots. I was like, right, but you should be impressed now. And I'm telling you, he will. Well, we'll see, Rod. No, I already see it because I'm watching the game without the cloud of biasness in my heart because he's black. I'm not sitting around like black people can't do that.
Man, those discussions will be borderline. We might not be friends after this.
Dude, I called them racist to their face more than one occasion.
Right. Like, but they would get testy. Yeah. They would start making it personal.
And I'll be like, I'm trying to help you.
Well, you know, Cam Newton, he stole money in college.
Right.
What the fuck does that have to do 3 years later with him in the league winning?
I think they should trade the pick. I think they should trade Cam Newton and get a pick from Cleveland. Suck my nuts.
We want a guy that doesn't take money in college. Yeah. Why? Why? He's obviously not that good, then that people didn't want to give him money.
You know who didn't take money in college? Andy Dalton. You can have him. It's fucking terrible.
Tannehill definitely didn't take any money.
White people disgust me sometimes, man. Sorry, white
people. He got an education.
I was gonna like try to get into some NBA scheduling, but one, it's way too early. But what we do want to continue to reiterate is that the Charlotte Bobcats are six in the playoff hunt right now. If the playoff started today, Charlotte Bobcats would be a six seed, going against Chicago, who would not have Derrick Rose, and the Bobcats would beat them. So, just keep in mind, Charlotte Bobcats not tanking. 6-6. The teams that are tanking, Brooklyn and New York are both 3-8. They don't have first round picks.
Man, I said at the beginning of the year they was going to be terrible.
Terry, you called it, man. You are 100% right. I mean, I figured the Knicks could be terrible, especially when Chandler got hurt. Like, I still think if Chandler comes back for half a season, the Knicks make the playoffs as like an eighth seed, right? Yep.
He helps because he gets all those terrible shots that Melo misses.
Yeah.
And on the defensive end, because the Knicks are losing.
And he picks up on all the terrible defense Melo plays.
Right. He's that 5-point swing that the Knicks keep losing by.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, he's the difference in these close games. He really is. But let's talk about
J.R. Smith averaging 25% from the field.
No.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Well, we could talk about his brother.
Talk about Mark Stoudemire, hot ass knees.
I want to talk about the good teams like Indiana.
Oh, okay. I thought I was going to still make jokes about the Knicks.
With that smooth ass jumper that when LeBron sent his ass home at the playoffs, mm-hmm. came back this year with the whole, he didn't see
Paul
this,
George.
Yes. Here's the thing. When LeBron sent Durant home, Durant was like, I'm going to get better. They're going to see a different Durant.
Mm-hmm.
George went home, worked on his aggressiveness, assertiveness during the game, and came back, his jumper looking prettier. He being more assertive. He out here dunking on cats. They got an upgrade with they got rid of Hansborough, mm-hmm. and picked up the Plumlee. Yep. Like, they got Hansborough 3.0. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
And yeah. He didn't talk a bunch of shit.
Right.
He just did it.
He just showed up for work.
It was like, I'm going to be better than last year. I'm averaging 25 points now. Man. Ask about me.
Man, when they get Granger back, why is he not playing yet, by the way?
I don't know, man.
What
I keep
Granger
wondering.
How did Dane get back in the country?
What's wrong with him?
Right. How did Dane get back in the country with the Ebola?
People kept asking me, like, because I asked the other day, I was like, what? Is Danny Granger playing yet? And they was like, no. And they was like, they should trade him. I was like, they might be able to play together. They probably shouldn't.
Right.
Like, he wasn't that bad. Like, he's coming
him,
back from injury.
Think about him, and you got Stevenson on the bench, who's not taking, like, crazy Ron Artest, like, mm-hmm. you know, when he was in Indiana, like, oh, this guy's
well, I guess
crazy.
He played five games, 14.7 minutes this year. So he's not playing a lot. So he's obviously still coming back from whatever his injury was.
Man, I don't know what, but you put him and George together? Mm-hmm. But you know, I took a lot of slack because I picked Aldridge the other week on my top five.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was crazy.
But no, have you seen? Now, you never looked at the numbers, man.
No, I know. I'm not one of those people that thinks LaMarcus Aldridge is sorry or overrated even. I just thought we were putting together the best of all time, not
Who better
this year?
Who better?
I would not
him?
Say LaMarcus Aldridge is one of the top five best players of all time.
Who been better than him? As far as it's gonna give you defense, gonna give you offense, smart, and hustles the entire game.
But Justin, man, you gotta remember that argument was like
I'm winning with
all
him, bro.
Time. It was like Karl Malone,
I'm winning with, I don't,
Charles
I don't
Barkley,
like Karl Malone.
Tim Duncan.
Barkley too short in that game.
It was a lot of people like that you could have picked.
The big fundamental doing the same Shaq, thing as Aldridge, without the hustle and slower.
There were so many big men that in NBA history.
Shaq.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I like
Wilt
Kareem.
Chamberlain.
I like Aldridge better.
You know, it's just you have a
Wilt couldn't function on that team with Kobe and LeBron.
You just have an uncompromising love for this dude that I don't have. That's all. There's nothing wrong. We have our favorites. My team had Steven Jackson on it. I understand. But I'm not going to sit up here and defend it like Steven Jackson, the top five best. Is he listening to this?
top five would knock you out.
Yeah, but my game was will whoop your ass. He in the top five will whoop your ass for sure. Ask about him.
He definitely in the top five would knock you out, and I'm okay with that.
Dwight Howard's in the top five corny ass niggas.
Simping ass.
Did you see he threw this ball at a fan because the fan got in his head?
Here's the thing. Even if so, why was he that frustrated?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
What was he saying?
Did he bring up Royce?
No. Like, yeah, what did he say? Like, why don't you take care of your baby mama?
Was it Royce? Was Royce sitting beside that fan and we just didn't see Royce?
Yeah.
Because the ball hit somebody else?
He said, hey, man, why don't you take care of your baby mama? He's like, what? Take this ball. He didn't even throw the ball that hard. Like, that was what was funny to me was everybody was like, he threw a ball at a fan and I saw the video. I was like, it wasn't that bad.
Man, I was so glad when he decided not to come to LA. And I said it then. I stood by that decision. I'm still glad. I'm glad he's not in LA, man.
If you want to play it, you can play it in the chat. It's like 30 seconds long. I'll see if I can play it, the audio. But this is Dwight Howard throwing a ball at a fan.
Dwight Howard battling to clean up the mess. Dwight Howard has hustled all night long. Now, offensively, he's put out a lot of
energy. He looks surprised, too.
He did a great job. And he just got hit with a technical foul.
Throwing the ball. In a close game.
That was bumping his gums at him.
Yeah, well, dude slapped the shit out that ball.
That's automatic. That's an automatic.
In a close game.
All right.
In a close game. And that they lost.
This is who Houston sent their kids to beg to play.
Right. A close game that they lost what they were winning before that. And did you see the Harden flop at the end of that game? He didn't fall, but just tried to kick his leg out.
Yeah.
Tried to draw the foul.
Dude, that was the worst flop ever. He didn't even get touched.
Right.
Like, dude purposely, I forget who was checking him. Like.
Marion. Sean Marion.
Sean Marion. Yeah. Sean Marion purposely did not touch this nigga. And he was like, nah.
I hope he get fined for it.
He should. Like, remember they said they were going to fine flopping?
That
should count.
That category for me.
That should count as flopping. You don't get touched and you act like, cause he was ready to take his shirt off. The coach came off the bench.
Yes.
Everybody got involved and then he tried to calm down like, oh, well, it's all right, guys. Don't worry.
But you know what this is a sign of, man? It's a sign.
Insufficient hair. I agree. Niggas with mohawks cannot be trusted.
No, man.
Been saying this for years.
It's what Dwight Howard brings to the team.
Mm-hmm.
It's he consistently takes that type of negativity. Wherever he goes. Now, am I saying that,
Oh, also, as part of the flop, the clock was still running and he gave up on the play, turned his back to it, started talking to the ref, and the team had gotten the offensive rebound. If he would pay attention, he could have had another shot.
The dude looked at him.
Yes.
And couldn't pass it because he wasn't paying attention.
But
that's what Dwight brings to the team, man.
Dwight's leadership.
Their IQs got lowered just that fast.
Because Dwight.
I bet you all of them now have a baby mama somewhere.
Yeah.
Like some chick right now in Houston
is pregnant. Right now.
All because they stopped wearing condoms because of Dwight Howard.
Dwight was like, why you gotta do it? The Lord will take care of it.
Man, listen, man. It feels better. Trust me.
Tony Allen got suspended for kicking Chris Paul in the face.
And I say,
to which I say, better than the nuts.
Right. I was going to say, sometimes better the face than in your balls.
Mm-hmm. Cause that's what Chris Paul would have did. Or as I like to call him, Chris Balls. Chris Balls would have hit him right in the testicles and be like, what's wrong with that? Got kicked in the face. Good. You deserve it.
I wonder if, Chris Paul said something about Tony Allen's grandmother or mother. Cause Chris Paul used that for an excuse when he liked to walk around.
And I, you know what? The thing is, I honestly believe it was an accident. I don't think Tony Allen meant to kick him in the face.
I was hoping he kicked him on purpose.
I think Tony Allen really did try to kick the ball because Chris Paul did like a fake and got past him. But if you look at where the ball was in, you know, compared to where his foot was, if Chris Paul would have just been raising the ball to shoot it, Tony Allen's foot would have kicked that ball out of his hand. But Chris Paul never brought the ball up to his face level and got kicked in the face. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Stop hitting people in the nuts, man.
You know, here's why I felt bad. Because I feel like Cliff Paul is the one that felt the pain. And I don't like to see Cliff Paul hurt. But Chris Paul?
Yeah.
I'm okay with him getting kicked in the face. I just don't want Cliff Paul to have to feel the pain.
One twin assists people for a living and the other hits people in the nuts. J.R. Smith got a little bit of help this week. First he got a little bit of hurt. He got fined $25,000 by the NBA for directing hostile and inappropriate language toward Detroit Pistons Brandon Jennings via his Twitter account. We talked about this, I think, last week.
Yep.
He got hit with $25,000 for that.
Man, I'm going to be honest. As much as I like Twitter, and I really just like to retweet a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
And if I'm not following you, just let me know. I'll definitely follow y'all back. But I'm shutting my Twitter account down.
What? Why?
25 G's.
That's a lot.
Do you know how much marijuana he could have bought with that?
That's true.
And that's how he evaluates all of his purchases. Mm-hmm. How much does this compare to how much marijuana am I missing out on?
That's true. That's a good point.
He missed out on a lot of marijuana, and I know he is not happy with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm shutting my Twitter account down. You know what? I'll get me a Black Planet and mm-hmm. holler at them hoes that way. Because we know he doesn't mind hollering at women online. So, I'm just saying. That's what I would do if I'm J.R. Smith.
Yeah, I hear you. You going to get back in the chat? Or
I hit refresh because my screen went white. So, I hit refresh.
Okay, cool. It'll come up in a couple minutes then. I think that... you just shouldn't be threatening people.
Well, he says he didn't threaten them.
Yeah, but...
You know what the problem is with Josh Smith's threat? His threats probably used to be is, I will fuck you up, I will kill your family, mm-hmm. like I'm going to get my other gun.
Yeah.
Like those used
he
to be
his threats.
He don't
even count these as real threats, because he even said he didn't feel like this was a real threat.
Right. So now he tried, I'm in the NBA, I can't really threaten people. Let me try to indirectly... threaten people, and he doesn't know how to do it.
Because the thing is, if something does happen to Brandon Jennings, the NBA doesn't want to look like they co-signing this shit.
Yep.
So
he really just needs to learn to just talk trash to him like Kevin Garnett does, and mm-hmm. then be like, "What? What did I say?" I mean, he does like a cancer patient. That's just
that classy trash,
right? just keep it classy. And if you do it during the game, the NBA won't say anything to you. Because I've never heard of the NBA fining a guy for talking trash during a game unless it was a homophobic slur.
I feel like that's wrong.
name an instance.
I feel like we can look something up that says people have said things and gotten fined.
That's a homophobic slurs. That's it. That's it. You can disrespect a man's wife. You're talking about his kids. You can say what you want. You can call him a cancer patient. You can talk about terminal illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't call him gay. That's all I'm saying. You can't say no homo.
All right. Let me just go ahead and move to the next topic. Did you know J.R. Smith also got some help with that fine? A fan used him to beat somebody's ass in a video game. they beat the Atlanta Hawks by 20 points on like NBA 2K or something. And so they wrote him a letter and included $60 in it because it was a $120 bet. And he said, it wouldn't be right if I didn't give you half. So the letter says,
#PS,
here's $60. I know money ain't a thing to you, but my fried bet me $120. Couldn't put up more points with you, than his heat on 2K13. Figure I split the pot since I made you look good. Ha ha, just kidding. # Knicks take, # Team Inc. So there you go, man.
He really did spell fried.
Yeah.
On that letter.
My fried.
So either this kid has an intellectual disability.
Mm-hmm.
Which I would hope is the reason why he.
Or he played against some fries. I played against some McDonald's fries. Did you hear about this meeting with the Cavs where they said the players only meeting got a little rough because some players lost their temper?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Then they went out there and lost to the Bobcats.
How many rings did Dan Gilbert have?
Zero, I believe.
It's the year of LeBron, baby. Mm-hmm.
I believe he said he was going to get a ring before LeBron James ever got one. And he is now 2-0 on that promise.
Kyrie still staying, though, right?
I mean, 0-2 on that promise. Kyrie staying. Forever.
Kyrie still staying. Okay.
He would never leave the little kids behind.
Okay, y'all. Hey, little kids out there. Ra is selling y'all a dream the same way as a little girl at the Y. Then he says, Santa Claus is real.
Mm-hmm.
And they all chill at Carowinds.
Yeah, I live.
Rod lives at Carowinds.
I'm Mr. Carowinds. My last name is Carowinds, as far as that little girl is concerned.
Right.
And, I also think that, Kyrie Irving staying in Cleveland.
Right.
The Washington Redskins offensive tackle Trent Williams denies that he directed a racial slur towards NFL official Roy Ellison during last week's game against Philadelphia Eagles, the Washington Post reports. Williams claimed after the game that Ellison used derogatory language, calling Williams a garbage-ass, disrespectful motherfucker. John Wooden, chairman of the Fritz Pollard Association, claimed after the game that Williams uttered a racial slur at Ellison to provoke Ellison's colorful language. Wooden said that Ellison should have been penalized or ejected Williams instead, or ejected Williams instead of retaliating. We haven't talked to Roy, but we are told that the players, black and white, were saying all types of things back and forth during the game. Wooden said in the telephone interview. Roy steps in and says, let's stop this. Trent says to him, fuck you, nigga. By all rights, Roy should have thrown his flag there and said, you're gone, but he didn't. He comes back at Trent with some bad language. Now Roy is wrong too. Williams vehemently denies directing comments towards Ellison. He reiterated Wooten's sentiments that if he did utter a racial slur towards a referee, he should have been punished. If I ever said anything like that to a ref and he feels that strongly about that word, then that's at least an unsportsmanlike penalty. Definitely wouldn't just warrant a tongue lashing from a guy that's supposed to be the only neutral person on the field. And not to feel either way about the team. There's trash talk. Trash talk is trash talk. You get that in every sport. The Fritz Pollard Alliance, which works with the NFL to address diversity issues, claims a disturbing trend of games during which racial epithets are being used, perhaps especially the N-word. Ellison has reportedly tried to curb the use of the colorful language during the game before using the unwise choice of word himself.
Does this remind you of workplace bullying?
And what do you mean? Like the ref being bullied by the player?
Well, you
or
know how players
consistently
talk trash to the refs, or especially like in the NBA. But how
well, they talk shit. Well, in this case, they were talking shit to each other.
Right. But the ref would, in this case, be like Martin, where he should have just flagged him or filed a complaint the appropriate way. Instead, he said something back.
Yeah, this is what happens when you take shit the way that all these dudes out here talking about being manly man. When you escalate shit this way, you end up in trouble too.
Yep, because now that ref he potentially could just get fired for this.
Yeah, he could have thrown a flag, did his job, got the guy off the field, let people deal with it later. The other question is, like, why are we trying to turn this into an argument about racial slur? we get a hint of the N-word and everybody has to lose the fucking mind. Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless did a whole segment on First Take about abolishing the word nigga. You can't abolish that word.
Well, especially Stephen A. Smith.
He said it on the show. He's like, come on, nigga, please. Nickels, please. I need some nickels. I need some change. For I gotta go. Yeah.
they faded to black.
Yeah. I don't like, where the fuck did they get the nerve to, you know, and then anytime you have white people, who, you know, let's be honest, the league will be mostly made of white owners and white management are going to tell these players, you can't say the N word, on the field or whatever. And for the record, I'm completely fine with them saying they don't want people to say the N word. I've had jobs before where, well, every job I've ever had, I knew I couldn't say the N word.
Right. Right? I don't know of a job.
You like, can walk around. This is the only job I have where I can go to work and say nigga.
nigga. Yeah. I can't. Yeah. They want you to show up to work like that. Cause you know what will happen? Security will escort you the fuck out.
But when they make these big sweeping societal commentaries on black people in general and how we should be allowed to talk to each other because of how it confuses slash influences young white people, get the fuck out of my face. I don't give a fuck how it affects them. What kind of shit is that?
Yeah, what white person is who's confused?
No cool. None of the white people I know are ever confused about when they can say it and when they can't. None. And if they have a question, I'll clear it up for them immediately.
You know, it's what, you know, we always talk about, like, what would you do if somebody called you a nigga, yeah, like, disrespectful? And no one's ever called me that,
right,
for me to know. Because white people know it's not appropriate.
Right. It's like how whenever they have blackface costumes at Halloween, it's always the one person at the party. You know what I mean? Like, it's always like a couple of people in America that do it. It's never like the 75 people that came to the party in blackface and put the pictures on Facebook. It's always like them two people that took it too far.
Yeah, you don't see
white people be knowing.
You don't see Rod and I wearing Ku Klux Klan uniforms.
Exact. I would never disrespect a pure Aryan white man like that.
Right. Do you see us walking around with swastika tattoos?
I respect the German heritage. To kill the Jews. I get it.
Right.
So, I understand race and context, guys. So how you gonna just walk around saying the N-word? Speaking of the N-word, Matt Barnes, who said he would fight, he was tired of fighting for his niggas on his team on Twitter, got in trouble because people were like, he needs to stop saying the N-word. You know, Jason Whitlock, of course, wrote that black people, all black people are coons and should kill themselves. But, he later deleted the tweet. People were trying to come down on him. They said Stern should find him and shit. And the NBA, because they're savvy and understand black people, decided that was a bad idea.
Man, you know who has Twitter figured out? Is Lil B the Base God.
He does have it figured out.
Because all he does is retweet people. Mm-hmm. And as an athlete, if you want Twitter, that's really what you need to use it for. Mm-hmm. Retweets and so you're trying to fuck later.
Right.
Like that should be the extent of your tweets.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, good job, good effort. Something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Copy. How is Kobe Bryant making Twitter look so simple?
Yeah. I mean, Kobe is the best, obviously. But I think a close second would be, Lil B. But I don't think Matt Barnes is using it wrong. I mean, he got fined for failure to leave the court, but they made it like an inappropriate language on Twitter. But you know that they really don't want to be the white people that say you can't say nigga.
When you said he said Twitter, he was on Twitter and used it and got in trouble, I wanted to be like, nigga, please.
Yeah.
Like,
well, they asked him, was he going to stop using it? He was like, I don't care. He said, I think the way I said it makes people cringe. I think if you put an ER at the end, that makes people cringe, but there's an A at the end. That's like people saying, bro, that's just how we address people now. That's how we address our friends. That's how we talk. That's how my wife talks. That's how my family talks. People talk that way now. I think if you put the ER on it, it's offensive. And if you put an A on it, it's more slang.
His wife never said that on her basketball show or while she was fucking other
Nigga, you cheating on me. Yep. She never said it.
Or while she was fucking other celebrities.
Yeah.
And I don't think you talked like that around Eva Longoria either.
You know a good way to get out of a football game? Beat up the quarterback.
Yep.
Both Division II schools say the CIAA canceled the title game for Saturday in Winston-Salem because a Virginia State football player faces assault charges after a bathroom fight left the Winston-Salem State starting quarterback badly beaten during a luncheon for both teams on the eve of the championship game.
And this is why we can't give black people colleges.
Yeah, and this is why everybody was right. HBCUs is just wrong.
This is what happened when you guys have your own sports that's not regulated by the white man.
Mm-hmm. This, yeah, they were right. And they probably were saying the N-word to each other.
Yep.
Nobody wants to talk about that.
I guarantee you they was wearing some Timberlands and they had some New York Yankee hats on.
Jay-Z invited some of the Mets CEO to dinner so he could talk about Robinson Cano's contract.
Mm-hmm. Along with his actual manager was there as well.
Scott Boras, you over, baby.
Here's the thing about people keep saying he's not going to get that money in New York. Jay-Z never said anything about having to stay in for the Yankees. And neither did Robinson. He said he's going to get this money.
Right. He didn't say shit about no Mets or no Yankees. He said about them checks.
So, I mean, if he just literally just goes across the street, how fucked up is that for the Yankees to have to look at that? That their best player on their team for the last 3 to 4 years
is a Met.
Is a Met.
Yeah. I just think it's gangster that he having dinner with folks and shit.
But what would be real disrespectful is if he go to Boston. You always hear about the Boston players coming to New York.
Yeah.
If he take his talents to Boston, man. We just saw what happened this year with Boston.
You know who else is trying to take his talents somewhere else? Dwayne Wade, but not on the basketball court. He wants to take him to the screen. He has sold a sitcom to Fox based on the life of an NBA star who's a single father with two boys.
I'm shocked Siobhan hasn't put some type of injunction on this.
My question is, who plays Siobhan? Who plays Siobhan Wade? Niecy Nash? You know, like who's going to have the proper amount of anger? You know, are they going to have to get the woman from Thin Line Between Love and Hate? You know, man, like, you need somebody
that's still young, though.
I know, it's his version, though. She going to be old. They're going to put a wig on her.
You get Little Mama in.
No, Little Mama's too good an actor for this. She's too good.
But she can do crazy. Very well.
Only if it's Left Eye. I need to see her do another character before I believe she can act for real. She might just be doing the best Left Eye impersonation on the planet.
Who does Gabrielle Union dislike?
I don't know.
That's how you settled it. Whoever Gabrielle Union, like Vivica Fox, they haven't done. They used to do movies.
Who's the youngest? They don't even talk. Who's the youngest black woman in Hollywood that can steal him from Gabrielle Union? Because once a cheater, always a cheat, Gabby. I'm telling you right now.
She better pick like Vivica Fox. Like Vivica Fox got titties like Siobhan. Mm-hmm. They both about the same complexion. Vivica she can act all right. She's good enough to play Siobhan. She can do crazy. We saw Set It Off.
She can do crazy.
She can do Vivica. Vivica gets that role in.
The show will be called Three the Hard Way because everything Dwayne Wade talks about has to have three in it.
And he's stupid, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like him. I'm with you, Siobhan. I'm with you. I don't know how you haven't stopped this show, girl, but I'm with you.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're
getting some money off of this.
If you're doing a protest here in Charlotte, I'm with you. I'm showing up. I'm showing up with you now. I'm not staying tonight.
The show is described as Wade and his entourage of eccentric friends find themselves parenting by committee when he gets full custody of his two young sons, which if you have to parent by committee with your friends, you probably shouldn't have full custody, right?
I agree.
I mean, isn't that the point of full custody is that you can do it?
He says single, like Siobhan died.
Yeah. It's a recipe made for disaster, but no matter how misinformed, misguided, or unfit teen Wade may be, they have a trump card that can't lose. It's called love. So apparently it's going to be a lot of mistakes made around these children and their care. I just hope Siobhan lawyer is watching this show.
Man, I'm going to tell you what's going to really happen is when Gabrielle leave him. he gonna feel real lonely because Savon rubbed them knees when he come home at night.
You know Gabby can't cook. He also it also closely follows his life and is based on a book he released last year called A Father First. Wade has had sole custody of his two sons, Zaire and Zion, since 2010. Who's going to play me? I haven't figured that out yet, but I'm sure it's going to be somebody handsome, Wade said. I just want somebody who look who's good. Are they going to have to wear his clothes?
Man, Dwayne Wade a pimp, man. He is a pimp.
Yeah.
Because he is the only dude I know that can be homeless and convince a woman she should take care of him. Give her... Give him all her money.
And let her, and let him wear her clothes.
Right. Pay, pay for his education.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, hooked it up so he can go to college. Gets rid of her, gets him a new woman.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now he out here selling books. He teaching these women how to take care of him. Like, he a pimp, man. And he from Chicago, so we know he knew about pimping.
That's true. I still won't let you back in the chat.
No, it's not even letting me get on the internet, no.
What? Oh, God. Try opening up Firefox.
I did.
It
Firefox had to load a bunch of add-ons, and then it wouldn't pull up any. All
right. Try Internet Explorer again. Keep trying. Don't give up. Whatever you do, keep trying.
I was going to reset the computer, but it had a password, and I didn't want to interrupt the show
okay.
Be like, Rod, put this password in.
All right. Well, I think the password, well, just reset that shit.
I was going to say it.
Yeah, I was going to just.
They were like, wait, I wonder if that password unlocks everything. Oh,
right, yeah. Fuck around, my bank account be gone. Never mind. Santana Moss. Oh, wait, we already talked about this, but basically, Santana Moss said RG3 need to man up and take some responsibility for that loss and not put it on other people. And Santana's right.
Yeah. And I say,
Santana's not just right about this game. He's right about every game.
Yep.
Unfortunately, as part of the quarterback position, you do have to take the blame.
Yeah. Just ask Peyton Manning.
Jerry Jones, speaking of taking the blame, says, Jason Garrett will return next season, 2014.
Damn it.
For 6 to 8 games before he's fired.
Damn it, Jason. We liked you in Dallas. Because you didn't know what you were doing.
Yeah, this is just a fucking writing on the wall, man. Every time he ever endorses one of these people, the shit don't work out, man.
Like, it's not this season not even over with. Why is this a question?
Nobody's talking about this except you, Jerry.
Right.
Jerry bringing it up off the bye week. Which basically is like, hey man, you need to win out. That's like, you know what it is? Jerry Jones is that dude that keeps talking about what they said about you.
Listen, he says he listens to the radio shows.
Mm-hmm.
The radio shows are talking about you not being the GM anymore.
Right.
And you know what? That's when coaches get fired.
Oh, by the way, Jerry Jones also had another article that I didn't pull up for the show, but he said that he's doing a good job, by the way, too.
Right.
So is he going to fire himself next year?
Nope. Because right. That's the only time when Bill Parcells kept saying, look, I'm not picking a team. Jerry's picking a team. He's the GM. Maybe if he released some of that control, we'd do better. Bye, Bill. Get the fuck up out of here.
Yep. This is what he does.
Who was the coach? Wade Phillips?
Wade Phillips was.
Wade started complaining about, like, who the GM was picking.
Wade. And this is hot off the heels of him saying, like, we did a good job. I'm doing a good job as a GM and an owner, but they got their ass kicked by New Orleans with their defensive coordinator. And then he was like, that was a mistake. I shouldn't have let him go.
Yep.
So which is it, motherfucker?
Hey, man, listen. That's America's team, all because they have a racist ass star that's gang related, in my opinion. And he's a white man out here winning. Good job, Jerry.
Will Allen, who was a member of the Dallas Cowboys for all of 5 games this year, but he's a veteran safety, he said that the reason that Dallas isn't more successful is that it was very micromanaged. It was a very micromanaged atmosphere. Everything was heightened. Everything was tight. I didn't feel the relationship and the bonding between players and coaches, maybe just the players or maybe just a few coaches and a few players. I think that's the rift that you get, and everybody wonders why Dallas can't finish, why Dallas isn't completing everything it needs to. The players are great. The players are tremendous. The coaches are some of the best in the business. You just need a cohesion there that allows players and coaches to really execute and do their jobs. And it's not something hanging over their heads that if they messed up, you're going to get cut, or you're going, or you're not going to play, or not going to do this. That's not fun for anybody. So that just confirms what we've known for the last 20 years.
Can we get this with cocaine? I feel like they play better when the players are using cocaine.
Well, I feel like that's an upper and it makes you tighter.
They could, but they could ignore Jerry. And I think that's what that, if you can get past that when you're high, you're not really focused on the outside distractions. Because you're so high, you have to concentrate more on the actual football game.
That's a good point.
They might play better. Just let's ask Michael Irvin and some of his other teammates and see what their thoughts are about it.
Speaking of major white stimulants, Dirk Nowitzki is 15th on the scoring list now. And the reason that I brought this up is I was thinking about this. It must be real hard to win a championship in the NBA. Because I would say throughout his tenure in the NBA, Dirk Nowitzki, when he at his best, was a top five player. And even at his worst, is top 15, top 10. He only won one ring.
Yep.
And we give, well, a lot of people give Mark Cuban a ton of credit for being a great owner. One ring in 15 years, dog. I can divide. That's one, let's ever say two. Two of them shits was due. One of them shits was eh, the other was ill-matic. That's a one championship every 15-year average. And that's so lame.
And do they look like they're going in the right direction this year?
No. This is about to be another year where it must be really hard to build around somebody or something, because if you told me I'm going to give you a guy who is the one of the top 10 players guaranteed for every year his career, except for like his first year, I probably would be like, I won a championship, no problem.
Yep. As long as it's not Melo.
Go ahead.
Hall of Fame point guards playing with him.
As long as it's not Melo, I could win that with a championship with this dude. And
or Tracy McGrady.
Right, or Tracy McGrady.
Of course. Hey, but you know what though? Is it the owner though, or is it Dirk?
I don't know, man. Part of me was like, cause see, he did win a ring. And when he won the ring, he was the man on the team that won the ring. It wasn't like he had help, but it wasn't like, where the help superseded him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it was like, oh, clearly this other motherfucker is the reason they won. Dirk was the reason. He was the MVP. But part of me wonders, I don't know. It feels like they didn't do anything to keep that chemistry going after that.
Yeah, he got rid of the whole team trying to get Howard.
Yeah, I just don't know. Maybe Mark Cuban gets too much credit.
Man, they whole team old as fuck now, man.
Yeah, it's bad.
First of all, they still got Vince Carter.
Vince Carter and Mary. Did you see Vince Carter told Dwight Howard that he was the biggest crybaby in the league?
Yeah.
Nigga, you Vince Carter though. Like,
we've seen him fake an injury right during a play on offense to sneak to the basket. Dude. Just to get an easy dunk, like more than once.
Yeah, it's not that it's not true, but Vince don't get to say it.
Yeah.
It's like, we agree, but not you, nigga.
They got Sean Marion. He dyed his hair blonde. Like dude from In Too Deep.
He still shoot with that fucking Raptor jumper. That shit what he do with his arms, man. Like, what a terrible, terrible old ass team, man.
Right. They are old.
They still got
Hayward.
Yep. No. Do they got Brendan Hayward? I don't feel like he's out of the league.
What's that big dude they got though? Cause he, that was that D Dwight up. Like Dwight had a great first half. After that, trash.
I know they had the light skinned buddy, but I think he's hurt. Let me see if I can look at their roster and see if we can figure this shit out. They're 8-4. Samuel Dallenberg?
Dallenberg.
Yeah. There you go. Brandon Wright, I think is hurt too.
Yeah, it was Dallenberg the other night, and he only had like 6 points during that game. Like,
man, you know, I was thinking about the other day, man, and I couldn't think of Brandon Wright, but the last one and done that Carolina had before Brandon Wright was like Marvin Williams.
Yep, and he's been trash up until
he's trash.
He had one good year in Atlanta.
Yeah, he trash, and Brandon Wright ain't been too good either.
Hey, but them young boys Carolina got now. First of all, y'all team light skin.
I know. That's why we so bad, man. We the softest, sorriest but team.
That's not why y'all losing.
Did you hear Roy Williams say that this is the least talented Carolina team he's ever coached?
Them boys, listen, I've seen them boys play. You guys have a lot of talent on your team.
That's why I was like, it's bullshit though, because first of all, if we don't have talent, that's Roy's fault.
Yep, because you recruited him.
Right. Second of all, if they do have talent and you're losing, it's also your fault.
Right. So as a coach, you have to put it on the players. But, right. And that's the always the scapegoat for they always say, oh, this team in that talent. Mm-hmm. You picked them. They all number ones, wherever they was at, they was a number one. Somewhere.
These niggas didn't show up to college on their own. You asked them to come, Roy.
Man, listen, y'all have the biggest, I don't want to say big, like as yeah. inside, but height wise, these dudes are long. Everybody's 6'5 and up. This dude caught an alley the other day for Carolina, the game they lost against Belmont. I swear he was above the backboard. Like, that's how high he was up in the air. But outside of that, but they just don't have, they haven't had someone to slow them down and say, look, these fundamentals right here, if you make this solid chest pass, if you pass the ball down the court instead of dribble, 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 if you focus on defense, the game will be a lot easier.
When Carolina is bad, college basketball don't exist to me. So I don't give a fuck.
Man, but
it doesn't matter why or what. If they play better, I'll start watching.
Because that's saying McAdoo is trash. When last year, McAdoo was supposed to go to the mm-hmm. league.
Yep. Right?
And McAdoo been carrying the boys. Now, Harrison out, mm-hmm. which I blame whatever ragamuffin cop pulled him over
right.
during the summer when he was just trying to smoke him some weed, go get him a little trim. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You got another star that's on the bench. I can't think his name. And it's like, Roy, you got all the talent on the bench. The NCAA hadn't even said hold him out.
Man, I will watch Carolina after, like, NFL is over, college football is done, which I don't really watch either. But I'll catch them on, like, a Saturday when I'm out at lunch for a half. That's the way I'm going to be watching this team. And it's the way I've been watching them for, like, 2 years, man. I'll probably sit down and watch some tournament games for the ACC tournament, but that's about it because they terrible. And then Roy is now people shit on him but honestly, I think Roy is a good teacher. And by the end of the season, they will be better than they were at the beginning. But they still ain't gonna be good, you know?
What were they doing all summer? Cause.
I don't know.
They was ranked 12th. So somebody had to be watching them.
That's that legacy ranking though. That happens every year. I've never been fooled by that shit. People do that all the time with Carolina.
They could have put them at 18, 19.
They could have kept
them in the top 20.
But you and I both know that that's cause the front of the jersey.
I'm just saying they could have put them in top 20.
They could have.
The first week in January, they in the top 5, and you'd have been like, damn, they jumped down real quick. You know what I'm saying?
Like, nah, they always do that, though. That's the thing. Like, there have been rosters where I was like, yeah, this team, shit, the roster where we lost all them starters after we won it all. They was like, they lost 90% of their scoring, 90-something% of every other stat, and then they was like, still ranked 18th. I was like,
you had 5 number ones coming.
It don't. But then as the season went on, we realized they weren't supposed to be ranked that high.
I mean, if you got 5 number one players out of the state coming to your team, it's at that point. It's,
yeah, I know it's all politics and that's why they do it. But I'm telling you, it's also because it's Carolina. Like, some of those boys aren't number ones until they get signed by Carolina.
Here's why I blame the coach.
Yeah, I'm blaming him too. Yeah.
Because when we pick up guys on our team, mm-hmm. we'll change sometimes what we're doing to accommodate other guys if they're just that good.
Well, I mean, you would know about bad coaching as an NC State fan.
Right.
You have seen it so many times for so many
terrible
years.
Terrible recruiting.
Consistently. Last year, I remember all my NC State fans at the beginning of the year being real hopeful and telling me how great their recruiting class was and how good the young dudes on the team were.
The team we had last year was nice.
Right, and then they fell apart.
They all went to the NBA.
Yeah, and then they fell apart. So this, I feel like that's why NC State fans can look at this
team. I looked at our team. We didn't get, we got one number one. Y'all got five.
Last year y'all had NBA talent, dude.
Right. But this year on this year's team, we got one number one that came. Everybody else was
But I'm saying.
Y'all got five.
I'm saying NC State has a habit of having good recruits too, and it falls apart. It's like the opposite of UNC where like they start strong, but then it falls apart the closer they get to the tournament. I feel like with UNC, they will start slow, which is why I don't even know why the fuck they rank them. Cause it's not like we get off to a hot start with these bad rosters. By the end of the year, they'll be making an argument for being a top 35 team.
Man, you remember when LeBron was at St. Mary's in high school,
mm-hmm.
and that other guy was the lead scorer on the team?
Yeah.
Some light-skinned guy?
Yeah.
That's the guy we get for NC State. You get LeBron.
No, we don't get LeBron. LeBron goes.
But I'm saying you get the LeBron, the number one in the state.
We get the
guy that might score a lot of points, but he's the other guy on the
team.
Who's
the last dude like that for Carolina? We have not even had a dude go one and done since Brandon Wright. That's how I started this.
Harrison has to stay. He keep racking up loyalty charges. he'll be there next year just because he racked up loyalty charges this summer.
Dude.
Every year is for him. It's the same thing.
But PJ Harrison wasn't even going to be a high draft pick this draft.
But he could have if he hadn't racked up these loyalty charges.
Even without the charges, dog, he was not going to be a high draft pick.
He could. This is what I'm saying. If he's not racking up loyalty charges, he's actually working on his game, which would, then you'll be like, he would have been like McAdoo. McAdoo could have went to the league.
McAdoo would have been a high draft pick 2 years ago.
Right, but he could have. Harrison could have. He keep racking up loyalty charges. They sweeping under the rug. They sweep, and they be like, man, fuck, I got to come back next year. We're like, yep.
But you know what? In all fairness, I don't follow recruiting, so
that
who knows?
Be McAdoo problem why he ain't left. Maybe why? He racking up loyalty charges, and we just not hearing about it because it's not involving weapons.
I don't know. What I do know is the team is already losing games, and we're probably going to be bad again. But, hey, if they pick it up, or if I'm bored on a Saturday, I'll definitely catch a game or two, but yeah, same, like, we're not good.
I'll still root for y'all just cause it's ACC and I like the ACC do well. I like to see the teams in the ACC do well cause my team is in that conference, but.
I mean, I'm not rooting against us. I just think it's time for, like, I don't get what's up with Roy anymore. Like, even at Kansas, he was recruiting dudes that were NBA talent that were definitely league bound. And people were salivating over getting his players into the NBA. That's not even happening in Carolina.
But that's my point. You guys would get the number one. Duke would get the number two. And we would get the number five or six player. Now, Duke get number one. And I don't know how that's happening.
But Carolina not even getting number two.
Y'all sharing the number ones.
No, we not though. That's the thing. Like Kentucky getting number ones. Memphis getting number ones. Carolina not. Like, that's what I'm saying about
our
team.
How are y'all not getting them and y'all was
because
winning?
Number ones leave. Like when dudes are that good, they don't, in college basketball as of right now, when dudes are a certain amount of good, they are not there the next year. It's just the way it works. Kyrie Irving didn't even fucking get to play and he was gone the next year.
I get that, but they still going to Duke and you know.
But this Parker
Krzyzewski
dude.
Doesn't like it.
This Parker, well, he's adjusted to it. Like a real, like a winner wants to, right?
Parker is nice, man.
But he gone.
Is he related to Candace Parker?
But look, Parker won't be there next year. Austin Rivers. Austin Rivers.
He should have stayed.
Who most people will agree should have stayed. Even he left because that's the nature of college basketball right now.
Could you imagine that Duke squad with him on there?
It'll be sick. But the UNC squads all have a bunch of dudes who I'll be like, this nigga need to stay 4 years. This nigga need to stay at least 2 years and get like learn how to play basketball. I don't know if we're just not getting them. I don't know if it's just like we were trying to recruit them. But from the shit I keep hearing is like, oh, Roy didn't like this dude. Man. Roy didn't want Parker.
Why? Parker is nice, man.
That's what I keep hearing, man.
Gladly, because I watched that Belmont game.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, he can gladly come to NC State then transfer.
Dude, I want to know what it is with Roy. You know what I mean? Is he refusing because he don't like the one and done shit? Like, I don't know. Anyway, it's weird. That's not even on the agenda. I don't know how we got on that, but yeah, I'm not watching the games. Did you hear about Donovan McNabb got accused of being a bully by his former teammate Sean Andrews.
I can't believe that either.
And he said that McNabb said that is ridiculous. I don't know what comments you expect to get from me, but that is news to me and completely false. And for me to bully anybody, that sounds unbelievable. Here's the thing. I believe he did bully him.
I can't even.
And this would explain a lot. This explains why all these people took shots at McNabb whenever they was off the team. Everybody wait till the offseason, get off the team, then they have some bullshit to say about him, and they never play with him again.
They was doing it during the season.
Nah, remember, like, even Freddie Mitchell said that shit after he was off the team.
Nah.
T.O. said it during the offseason.
T.O. said it during the season.
No, he didn't.
And they tried. People didn't. Stuck up for McNabb.
T.O. said it during the offseason. Oh, wait, you talking about the next year.
Yep.
But I'm saying it started during the offseason. Like, he was safe then. And he knew McNabb was going to beat it. No, I'm just joking. Come on, man. McNabb ain't no bully, man. That dude just seems way too reasonable.
But you know what McNabb should do? Schedule an interview with him on the NFL Network and punch him in the mouth.
If he was really a bully.
That's what he should do. No, that he should just do that.
Nah, if he...
People will leave. Listen, people are going to continue to mess with McNabb.
This is the best. Listen, this is the best idea ever, for the record. I don't want you to think I'm against this idea. I would pay $25 pay-per-view just to see this.
He should. People will stop fucking with him.
I think he should make it a series, though.
People should stop fucking. They will stop fucking with him if he did it.
But here's the thing, though. Donovan McNabb is one of them people that I can't imagine bullying anybody. But if it was, it would be funny. You know what I mean? Like, I just picture him saying something really classy instead of something mean. Like, well, that's why your wife shops at Whole Foods and not Trader Joe's.
Let me ask you this. You know not to mess with Ray Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
But would you fuck with Ed Reed? Right.
Mm-hmm.
People keep fucking with McNabb. If you check one person, McNabb, they will leave you alone.
So you're saying he's the one being bullied in this situation?
I'm saying, yeah, everybody fucking McNabb. Ever since he did them Campbell Soup commercials with his mama.
Mm-hmm.
No disrespect to Mama McNabb, but it made your son look soft.
Yeah.
He's the Blake Griffin of the Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm going to save the Jameis Winston story for next week because I'm waiting for more details. But it ain't looking good for him or the Heisman.
I want to know. This is just mainly a question. Were those tests that they have from her underwear, Did the police save him from the original allegation, or did she still have the underwear like Monica Lewinsky had the dress and was like, well, look, these the underwear that I had.
Man, that investigation apparently went so fucked up. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, that's how like lax the investigation was. It just, everything about that whole situation stinks. And like, I really would like to get more questions asked before we even do a lot of speculation. We could probably speculate for an hour on the shit, but I don't have the time today to do it. And it seems like a story that's not going anywhere.
Yeah, until he gets two or three under his belt, like Ben Roethlisberger.
Innocent until proven guilty and all that shit, right? But like, only 4% of rape accusations are ever, like, proven to be false. It's not looking good. You know what I mean? And then the fact that he wasn't nobody when this happened. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't.
Yeah, he wasn't Jameis.
Yeah, like, he wasn't Jameis yet.
Getting that chain put on him.
Yeah, like, it's not a good look, man.
I wonder if it's not that it's a huge, it's not even an issue. I just want to know if she black or white. I just want to know.
Amari Brooks was fined $15,570 for a hit on Drew Brees. A lot of people are upset about this, roughing the passer call about, you know, hitting Drew Brees and all this shit. And because in slow motion, you can see they hit Brees' shoulder pads and not actually hit him in the head or the neck. Looking at it in slow motion, I'm okay with this.
I am too.
Nobody neck's supposed to move like that.
But I will say this, mm-hmm. Ray Lewis posed his thoughts about that wrong.
Mm-hmm.
What he should have said was the NFL better not fine him and he wouldn't have got a fine.
Yeah. Well, he said he's going to pay the fine, right?
He said half, but that's what I'm saying. He said if he gets fined, I'll pay half. But if he said he better not get fined, it wouldn't have been a fine. Commissioner would have stepped in and been like, yeah, no fine.
Okay. This is the same commissioner that was running this nigga for however long, you know?
I'm just saying.
Don't seem like he was too scared to me.
Ray Lewis is a man of God. And I believe that Ray Lewis, if he just spoke to God about this and said a prayer when he was talking about it instead of just pulling out his MasterCard, if he'd have said a prayer about it, it would have been a fine.
Okay. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, so he's fine. You know the Knicks are doing bad whenever they bring up Isaiah Thomas's name. That's their go-to, like, don't look at us, look at Isaiah Thomas, you know. James Dolan said that he's not going to hire Isaiah Thomas in any formal capacity with the team. He's not already in any formal capacity with the team, so why'd you have to bring that up, James Dolan? Nobody needed to know that. Seems like you just didn't want people to think about the fact that you're 3-8. Mike Woodson got fined $25,000 for criticizing officials and saying that Carmelo Anthony doesn't get superstar calls.
He doesn't, but what's up with it, man? As a coach getting fined $25,000, that hurt. That hurt your pockets.
That sounds like the move of a man who thinks he's about to not have a job.
Right, and all the more reason that I'm not going to comment on the one thing that I know I would get a fine.
But he was like, this is a gamble. This is the kind of thing that maybe can get the team behind me for the rest of the year.
Man, you lost.
I would have just been like, man, I don't know. Melo need to play better. Fire me. Give me my money.
Well, how about, I think everyone always wants more foul calls.
Yeah.
Something.
Nah, I'd be trying to get fired. I'm like, man, Melo should just pass the fucking ball.
Can they get workman's comp?
Hey, how much money would that be worth? If a coach was dating, that's like, so you think Carmelo Anthony, we noticed he only got, only went to the line 10 times today. And, Heat sent, LeBron Jackson went to the line, 25 times. He feel like there was a disparity in the call. Hey man, Melo should just pass fucking ball, bro.
But can they get workman's comp?
No, I don't think so. I mean, they get the rest of their check, though. If you get fired as a coach, you get your money.
I mean, you get your, I get that part.
So fuck workers comp, dog. But I just want my check.
But after that, after my contract is up, then do I file for workman's comp because I haven't found a coaching job yet.
Oh, you mean, well, maybe they can get unemployment, but maxes out. Unemployment. Yeah, that maxes out at a few hundred dollars a week.
But I thought it was based off your salary.
They can go be an announcer. And talk about the game. I just would like to see a coach come out and say some shit like that about Melo. Like, if the nigga just passed the ball.
Man.
Like Larry Brown used to say about AI.
Yep.
Like, he used to say that shit all the time. He'd be like, well, shit, AI was shooting all the shots. Man, shit.
That's because Larry Brown, regardless of how he ran this team, he kept it 100.
Yeah, and he know he going to be out of there 3 years no matter what. I don't give a fuck how that team goes. Like, shit, AI stopped dribbling all the goddamn time. Next question.
What I didn't understand is they had a point guard, but why was Iverson still running point guard the entire game?
Because he was running what we like to call ball.
They had Aaron McKee at point guard.
You know how
Andre Miller at point guard.
He was running ball. That's what he was running. They was like, what position are you? The one with the ball. Give me the ball every time.
They had Eric Snow at point guard.
Like, you know, that used to fuck their whole vibe up too, because They had to practice without him. Did he just show up on game day and don't even get nobody the ball? That had to suck. God, I know they hated playing with that nigga, man.
I mean, why would you want him to show up to practice?
At least Kobe practiced hard and he'd be the same asshole in practice that he's gonna be
but
on the court.
You're not talking about the game though, right? You talking about him showing up to practice.
Right. Why? How I'm supposed to make you better? Well, you making me worse. You are making me worse by showing up on game day and not letting me shoot.
How? We talking about how the fuck is me showing up to practice gonna make you better on game day?
So I can learn how to play around you. So I can learn how to, like, when you gonna pass it. I'm not gonna pass it.
So how am I affecting your game?
I'm not making you
if
any
I
worse.
Show up to practice.
I'm definitely not making you better if I show up to practice. Like, that's what he was really saying was, if I show up to practice, then they won't even get to shoot in practice.
Right.
When Larry Hughes gonna get to work on his jumper if I'm around? I'm gonna be shooting them threes.
How the fuck are you supposed to make your team better?
Right.
By showing up to practice to not pass them the ball.
I only can make them worse, y'all. I think y'all don't understand my game.
I wish I could do that laugh how he did it.
Yeah.
Cause that smirk laugh,
yeah.
That chuckle, all at the same time.
Cause he was serious too. Speaking of which, it's time.
No.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. Hey Mamba. That's right, guys. We come to the end of the show. The longest, like, this is 2 hours and 15 minutes, and Justin still don't want to go.
Man. It's more articles.
I've been up since 5 a.m.
Man, why tell you to go to the gym that early?
I didn't take a nap. I got straight to my grind. I'm hungry. I need a nap. I'm supposed to go to the movies after this.
Man, it's the Kobe system.
Does Justin give a fuck? No. Mamba mentality. Cause that's how we go. We go hard. Former National Basketball Player Association Executive Director Billy Hunter sued the NBAPA and its former president Derek Fisher for breach of contract this week. In the court filing, Hunter claimed that Kobe Bryant and his agent, Rob Pelinka, directly urged him to accept a secret deal negotiated behind his back during the 2011 NBA lockout. Hunter alleged that Fisher went above Hunter's head to negotiate a 50-50 deal with the owners to end the labor stoppage via CBS's Ken Berger. Late in the evening, before the Waldorf Astoria meeting, I was already in bed for the night when my phone rang. Hunter wrote in the court filing, the caller identified himself as the Black Mamba.
Pray for the bell, y'all.
That's why he the greatest, y'all.
He ended the lockout is what he's saying.
La 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 la. Hey Mamba. This nigga said he was the Black Mamba on the phone. On the phone, Justin. Who does this?
I mean, it's better than Johnny Bravo or
the Black Mamba. That's who does it.
It's better than Ron Mexico.
That's like me calling your phone and being like, it's Rodimus Prime. Who is this? The black guy who tips. I knew it was Kobe Bryant, a superstar player for the Los Angeles Lakers and the highest paid player in the NBA. Bryant informed Hunter that his agent, Pelinka, also was on the phone. Informed him. Didn't ask. He didn't say, can we get my agent on two or three way? He said, hold on 1 second while I put my agent on. He said, it's the Black Mamba and my agent is on the phone. At that point, Hunter said that Bryant urged him to accept a 50-50 split of the revenue in the meeting the following day and put this thing to bed, do the deal. Hunter said Bryant also told him, I got your back. So, that's awesome.
Ironically, that does not sound like Kobe saying he has someone's back.
No, I feel like maybe it got disconnected or something like that. Maybe it came across kind of garbled or something. Like he said, I'm going to get you back or something like that.
Like, you're right. Like, I can believe Kobe ended the lockout.
Yeah.
But I can't believe the conversation was held like that. If anything, I believe Kobe telling him like, hey, go finish the deal, make it 50-50. Call me back when it's done, maybe.
But this is why I believe it. Cause apparently they already had negotiated the entire deal without the head of the NBAPA. And then Kobe called the head of the NBAPA and was like, take the deal. That is some Kobe shit.
That is some mafia type shit.
That's Kobe's system, dog. Pray for the fight. Like, pray for the help the bear, dog. This nigga, they was like, I bet you Kobe didn't even have shit to do with the deal. You know what I mean? Like, I bet he was like, Derek, work out the deal. And he's like, all right, man, I could work out a deal, Kobe, but, man, you know, it's been hard dealing with Billy Hunter, man. Billy Hunter he's actually my boss, man. He's the head of the PA and he is not amenable to a 50-50 deal. just work out this goddamn deal, Derek, and call me when it's time. And then he's like, all right, I worked out a deal, man. It's tentatively agreed to. We just need Billy to sign off on it. I'll call him right now. Kobe, it's 4 a.m. I'll call him right now. And he called the Waldorf Astoria and was like, it's the Black Mamba. Can you put me through to Billy Hunter's room? Excuse me, sir. Who is this? The Black Mamba. He'll know who it is.
Oh, that's man. Untraceable.
Yeah, the number's from unknown.
The like, Black Mamba. Because that sounds like that whole Nick Cannon thing with, you know, somebody called and was like, yeah, this Nick Cannon rip.
Yeah.
Nick Cannon, like, you can't prove that's me. Like, like, no, like, so can you really prove that's Kobe? Like,
Hunter said he confronted Fisher, who denied engaging in secret negotiations with league negotiators, and asserted instead that Brian and Pelinka had done so, which might be even better. Matter of fact, I like to believe that Bryant didn't consult anybody, not even Derek Fisher, and that he just made the call on his own.
Here's the thing, though. Like, I appreciate Kobe go ahead and ended it because I wanted some NBA. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But how stupid is, I mean, if you the head of it, you listening to Kobe, that's Kobe's fault.
Let me tell you why Kobe is Teflon, though. Because keep in mind, this started with me telling you that Billy Hunter is suing motherfuckers, right?
Right.
Billy Hunter is not suing Kobe Bryant or Pelinka for breach of contract. Just Derek Fisher.
Right.
He was like, I'm not fucking with this nigga, dog. I'll sue everybody but him.
I don't see how he can even sue Derek, because
he is secondhand knowledge, if anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, Kobe is giving him hearsay at best, right? Like,
yep.
He doesn't know that any of this shit happened. Derek Fisher saying it didn't happen, and he is still suing Derek Fisher and not Kobe Bryant.
But you the head. You can't. You make these decisions. So you saying you took the word of a player. That's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I will walk up in court.
Yeah.
You took the word of a player, and that's my fault.
So where this goes from here hinges on a matter of contract law that are beyond the scope of my knowledge, says the person who wrote the article. Hunter was owed $10.5 million in salary when he was fired in February, and in the lawsuit, he is seeking that and more. It's worth noting that Hunter's actions while in charge of the NBA PA has been investigated by the United States Attorney Office and the Department of Labor and New York State Attorney General. So
you think Kobe handles that situation like what's that Barry Bonds handled Congress?
I just feel like Kobe called that dude and had the same voice that Batman has in the Dark Knight.
No, he called his Bane.
It's the Black Mamba. That shit.
But like, no, all jokes aside though, like, do you think, cause that means Derek Fisher would go to jail behind it.
That's
and
true.
And he would have to serve some time. And the same way.
I don't know if it's, but I think it's just a lawsuit. I don't think it's like law. I think he's just trying to get compensated money monetarily.
If I'm the federal government, somebody's going to jail, you're wasting my time.
Shit, if somebody was going to jail, Billy Hunter would have already been there. These rich people crimes. Ain't nobody going nowhere.
Martin Stewart went to jail.
That was different. That was inside of trading, and you can't fuck with that kind of money.
It's because Martha Stewart hang out with black people, though. That's the other thing. She got a lot of photos of her hanging out with Snoop Dogg.
Dog, Kobe called this man and introduced himself as the Black Mamba. That's probably the title of the show. That's the only thing that mattered today. Everything we covered don't mean nothing to me except this nigga called somebody's hotel room and introduce himself in the third person as his nickname.
I think that's my new favorite commercial, too, with Kobe, where he says, you're welcome. And he has all those other multi-billionaires.
The Kobe system.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And he has the other multi-billionaires.
He tried to get Brian Hunter the Kobe system, dog. It's like, just agree to the deal. It's the Black Mamba. Bye. He probably hung up on a Black Mamba out. Hello? Who is this?
Look, we have to go check the date of that call and then look at his Twitter account.
Yeah.
And see what hashtag was tweeted.
Kobe was like, I was never here. All right, man.
Hashtag we in the building.
Yeah. Hashtag help the agent. Oh, man. All right, man. We out of here, man. We'll see you guys sometime next week. If not, the week after. You know, it will be Thanksgiving. Be a little busy. We'll see what we can do. But until then, man, thank you so much for enjoying the show. Thanks for everybody that were able to come out in the chat. Sorry, I accidentally had to send out two links by mistake. But thanks, everybody that came out. We'll talk to you guys later. Peace.
Peace, y'all.